All right, members, we have a quorum. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. The time is 9:08 a.m., and I now call this meeting of the Dallas City Council to order. Today, we're going to begin with an invocation, followed by pledges of allegiance that will be led by our Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Medrano. At this time, the chair would like to recognize Councilman Blewett to introduce our guest who is here to give our invocation. So at this time, let's please rise for the invocation.
Good morning. I'd like to introduce Dr. Andrew C. Stoker. Dr. Stoker is senior minister of First United Methodist Church, serving in the heart of downtown Dallas. Since 2013, he has forged strong partnerships with numerous civic organizations. Formidable leadership skills and passion for equality combined with his research in theology and family systems give him a unique and clarion voice in the areas of advocacy, community outreach, and racial reconciliation. Married to Megan Callahan Stoker, and they have two sons, Alex and Wesley. Graduate of Texas Tech, earned seminary from Perkins School of Theology at Southern Methodist University. Pony ears. Dr. Stoker completed a Doctor of Philosophy and Family Studies from Texas Women's University. Thank you.
Let us gather our hearts, minds, in a spirit and posture of prayer. One whose name is compassion and mercy, we turn to you this day and open ourselves to the business of our city. Though the agenda items may seem daunting, may we find the courage and strength around this table needed to face any challenge and opportunity with vision and with grace. If there are any hardened hearts here this morning, tune them to the deep need of our neighbors, that in considering the least of these, we find our best and truest selves. Peel away any biases, stereotypes, social conditions, boundaries, languages that may divide us, so that we might unite ourselves with one mind, one heart, and one voice. May we find the depth of our partnership, which calls us to greater clarity and a wider vision for every citizen of our city. Let us rise to this occasion to face the critical challenges, for we are reminded that our future is sitting in a Dallas Independent School District elementary school. We are reminded that teenagers in South, West, East, and North Dallas have role models in us. We are reminded that employees of all socioeconomic levels want to hear that their needs will be met and their families cared for. We are reminded that our older citizens want a city where their legacy can be lived out for the generations to come. And remind us ultimately that at the end of the day, our job is to heal. Heal divisions, care for the poor, raise up the marginalized, and welcome the stranger. For we are called together, each one of us in this moment, to live together, to build community together, and to make the city of Dallas a brighter and better place to pray, play, walk, and thrive. For we pray these things in the strong confidence of a peace that surpasses all understanding and a hope that will never end. Unite us in your great love this day and in the days to come. Amen.
Amen. Chair recognizes Mayor Pro Tem Medrano for the pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. You may be seated. Thank you very much. We'll now hear from our open microphone speakers, Madam City Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first five registered speakers will be William Hopkins, Marvin Crenshaw, Cynthia Williams, David Magruder, and Jessica Garcia. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Johnson only. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker is William Hopkins.
I'm William Hopkins. I've been coming down here about 20 years. I'm here to talk about the lead. I'm an advocate for the people that's dying in West Dallas from the lead. I just want to say something about my 20 years down here. My 20 years down here was Ron Kirk. He was going to get a blind trust, him and his wife, for to build American Airlines. And they didn't do nothing for the city or the police department or nobody. They got money for that. And so the next mayors, they come in, they wanted bridges, $1 million bridges. They wanted a dig park at downtown. They took all the money from South Dallas. You don't need no people to talk to you about South Dallas. I can tell you what happened with South Dallas. You don't need no kind of staff to get together and they tell you. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. They give away all the money for South Dallas, the South Dallas Trust Fund, the 05 Bond in South Dallas. They gave away $25 million to the white people in the 05 Bond. They gave away all the money. They gave money for downtown from South Dallas, from West Dallas. They took the money from West Dallas and built Lost Downtown for the white people. They took money from Oak Cliff. Oak Cliff had all kind of money for streets back in the past Bonds. They took the money from Oak Cliff and give it to the white people. They take the money from the poor, the CDBG. Any money for the poor, they take it and give it to North Dallas and downtown. So that's what's wrong. It's not the people, it's the city and the people taking the money from the poor and giving it to downtown and North Dallas. But I'm here about the lead, Merrill. You got a copy? The city sued, Merrill. And just the first sheet, and got the money, and they let the people die. Fred Byron and Bud, Russell Bud, Dr. Bud, and Fred Byron of the Fred Byron and Law Firm. The city gave them the money to give some of the people. It was crooked and corrupt. The FBI know, but they will come down here and arrest all of the blacks, but they won't say nothing about this, Merle. The people dying. My stepfather just died 2 weeks ago. The Dallas Morning News did an article. December the 16th, 17th, and 18th, 2012, and they found a high level of lead in my mother's yard and around the churches and different properties in West Dallas. They found a high level of lead. I thought the EPA were going to come in, Merle, and help us and test the grounds. And I've been waiting on the EPA, and my stepfather just died about a week or two ago. My mother and father are already dead. I got two brothers dead, and my sister Margaret is dead. And the house got a high level of lead, Merle, on the property. And the city got the money. And I was trying to see if I don't know if they say your mother lives in West Dallas. And I want to get her yard tested, Merle.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
Marvin Crenshaw.
Marvin Crenshaw, 3008, Pennsylvania. I want to just open up and greeting you and stating, BDS, 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 BDS. And those of you who do not know what that is for.
Hate speech, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech.
For those of you who do not know what that is.
Mr. Mayor, point
is,
of order, we do not allow hate speech from this. From
for those of you who
okay,
do not
gonna,
know.
We're going to retain
sir,
order.
Sir, quit interrupting me.
Hold on. I'm just trying to maintain order here. We're going to let him continue.
Let me get my minutes back, too.
No, you didn't lose any time. The clock stopped when he started talking, but please continue, and we're going to listen and move on, okay?
BDS is globally known as boycott, sanctions, and divestment, in this case, from apartheid Israel. And that's why I'm here, to speak on that. And those who don't want to hear it, get up and leave. You have that right. Get up and leave. And turn your back. But that's why I'm here to speak on that today. And Mr. Mayor, you were there in Austin when they had the House Bill 89, which passed wherein that a citizen of Texas could not get a contract on a state or city or county level if that person did not sign an affidavit supporting Israel. One teacher in Pflugerville filed a lawsuit and won in court when the judge ruled that her First Amendment rights were being violated. That meant for all of us. And every city, I've checked with the city of Dallas, and it's no longer on contracts. But this city has always had, at some different time, even when we dealt with BDS in South Africa, we received the same comments that don't be talking about it. But the whole world came in, and the city of Dallas also joined in. It's going to do it this time. That's why this man is always interrupting me. BDS.
BDS.
BDS. BDS. So you just keep on doing what you're doing because, you know, you're doing us a good favor. I mean, you're in Netanyahu. You're doing a good favor for all of us.
I need you to maintain order, Mr. Kleinman. Everyone, let him
finish.
Well,
he keeps interrupting. He keeps over there making those remarks. Every time I come down, he wastes my
time.
He's
addressing me directly.
He's making those remarks.
Pardon me, Mayor. Point of order.
I'm sorry. You have not been recognized, okay? I want the speaker to finish, and we're going to move on. Do you understand? Does everyone understand?
Okay. Now, and I also want to say this. They're doing the same thing to us on a national level. They're trying to pass something in Congress at one time that we even mentioned Israel. We would get a two-year fine or $50,000 fine. We're citizens of this country. I'm a veteran. How are you going to tell me as a veteran that I cannot stand up for my rights in this city and you're going to just sit there? We're veterans. We lost our lives. Many of us are walking around here crazy now because of that, and you have an idiot. That's what I'm calling you, an idiot who's going to tell us that we can't say anything we want to, and we're not violating his rights. You violate
thank you
all.
Very much.
We have rights.
Mr. Crenshaw, thank
sir.
You.
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
If you don't
Crenshaw.
Believe it,
Mr. Crenshaw,
you'll see.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Cynthia Williams. Not present. Okay.
Good morning. I'm here because of my son. And, okay. I'm here because of my son. His name is Derek Williams. And he's been arrested. And he's in jail right now. And he has schizophrenia, paranoia. And he right now has been charged with a lot of charges that he is not guilty of. And I went down to talk to the judge to let her know that he's not guilty of a lot of these charges. He's been charged with gun possession, drugs, and he didn't have a gun on him. He didn't have any drugs on him. And They throwed a whole lot of other charges on him. And right now, I went down Saturday to speak with him. He said that he's not eating. They're not giving him his medication. And he's not getting any food. He's not getting any medication. And he said he's so hungry that he has started to eat his feces. And I have tried to call down to let them know that my son is in jail and he's suffering. They do not have him over in the medical facility. And he's just in a cell by himself, way in the back. Nobody knows what's going on. And I don't understand why my son is suffering like this, why he's being treated like this. I talked to Judge Tammy Kemp, and I told her, I said, my son is mentally disabled. He did steal a car. They got him down for that, but they got him down for three more other cars. And I'm like, where is all these charges coming from? And he had a friend that talked him in because they know he got a mental disability. And he talked my son into stealing this car and you know, I just believe he was set up. Everything was just set up in my neighborhood, and I just need to get some help for him right now. When I went to see him Saturday, he was his eyes are yellowy. He's real he lost a lot of weight. And he just needs some medical attention, and he's not getting it. They're not even giving him his psych meds for his mental disability. And I'm here because I've called and tried to talk to different people, and nobody's listening to me. And I just need some help.
Thank you, ma'am.
David McGruder.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. Can you let the lady know that they're going to find her, Ms. Williams, know that they're going to come talk to her?
I think we just did.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
No problem. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, to the members of the council. My name is David McGruder. I have the pleasure of serving as pastor for Youth and Collegiate Ministries at Friendship West Baptist Church. And this morning I want to address and sort of talk to the potential impacts of potential budget cuts in human and social services and the impacts of those potential cuts on our young people in this city. These are items that this body is going to take up later today when it considers agenda item 90 in a public hearing. The new budget is expected to take effect in October, and our new city leadership has recently received a budget forecast that anticipates a $33.7 million revenue gap by the fall of 2020. I could be wrong. Correct me on those numbers if I am. That gap could swell to $44 million gap by fiscal year 2023. We know what that means. It means significant cuts to programming and services that young people use and need. To be sure, serious decisions must be made. But we don't believe that those decisions have to be made on the backs of those in our community who need these vital resources the most. As you all know, our budgets reflect our priorities. So when we close libraries, we send a message to our children that education and learning, that exploration and critical thinking are no longer viable pathways to success in this city or in this nation. When we close public parks, we signal, right, that we have failed to figure out how to secure public safety without taxing public joy. Further, the members of our community most vulnerable to budget cuts are poor and working families with children. And so this means that critical budget cuts to social and human services today will have deleterious effects on our young people both today and tomorrow. Cuts to critical resources like the $2.3 million that was allocated for strengthening our homeless response system, or the other resources that are allocated to improving supportive housing for seniors, as well as other kinds of programming. Those actually have impacts on youth, on our young people. Our most vulnerable children and their struggling families should not bear the brunt of technical, bureaucratically determined budgetary decisions. Those decisions are hard, but they don't have to be made on the backs of our precious future and our young people. With that, I yield the balance of my time.
Thank you, sir.
Jessica Garcia has canceled. This concludes your morning speakers. We'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item one is approval of minutes of the August 13, 2019 City Council budget briefing and the August 14, 2019 City Council meeting.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is adopted. Minutes are approved. Madam Secretary?
Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 67. Agenda item 11 is pulled by Councilmember Narvaez, and agenda item 60 is being pulled by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 10, 12 through 59, and 61 through 67.
Okay, do we have a motion for approval? Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Consent agenda is adopted.
Agenda item 11 is an ordinance abandoning portions of Winnetka Avenue, formerly Earl Street, to Paul V. Toller and Donna Toller and Worth Trinity LLC, the abutting owners, containing a total of approximately 18,795 square feet of land located near the intersection of Fort Worth and Winnetka Avenues, and authorizing the quitclaim and providing for the dedication of a total of approximately 9,999 square feet of land needed for a sidewalk easement and wastewater easement. This item was pulled by Councilmember Narvaez.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the ordinance as recommended by staff with the following change. In Section 12 and Exhibit C of the ordinance, the square footage of land is changed from 5,805 to 9,442.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion?
Just, Mr. Mayor, colleagues, just so you all know, this is a dead end where a lot of illegal dumping happens, and so this landowner just wants the abandonment so that they can make it look better. You can't even build anything on it because of all the easements. And so this will be a really big win for the Fort Worth Avenue corridor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is approved.
Agenda item 60, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue has a conflict and will be leaving the council chamber. Item 60, authorize one, renewal of the contract with El Centro College of the Dallas County Community College District, DCCCD, for instructional services for police academy training. Two, the receipt and deposit of funds from El Centro College of DCCCD. And three, an increase in appropriations in an amount not to exceed $550,548 in the DCCCD El Centro Police Training Funds for the two-year period, September 1st, 2019, through August 31st, 2021, not to exceed $550,548.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is adopted.
Agenda item 68 will be held until later, until the afternoon session. We'll now move to agenda item 69. Item 69 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the second step of acquisition for condemnation by eminent domain to acquire approximately 6,587 square feet of land located in Dallas County from the Joyce Clark Living Trust Agreement for the Southwest 120-96-inch Water Transmission Pipeline Project, not to exceed $15,584. This item will require a record vote, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Discussion? All in favor?
I just want to make sure, just briefly, colleagues, this is related to us providing water for this area, and it's just a formality to be able to set the price with this particular property owner.
Please start voting. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I got in really late.
Okay, my screen just changed to the voting screen, so I can't see anybody's names anymore. So, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. City Manager, if you can just let us know, is the trust, they're okay with this? I know Mr. Kleinman said something about the price, but the trust is A-okay with this eminent domain?
Councilman, let me check on that with staff real quick.
Mr. Narvaez, we worked with the property owners. Chris Weckert with Sustainable Development Construction. We worked with the property owners and made them an offer of the full appraised value. They did not accept that offer. That's why we are seeking eminent domain for that property.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Please continue voting. 13 have voted. 14 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmember Balzadua, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue, Councilmembers Mendelson, Arnold, Thomas, West, Blewett, Mayor Johnson, Councilmembers Resendez, Gates, Kleinman, Blackman, and Atkins. Voting against, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Narvaez. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Agenda item 70, authorize one preliminary adoption of substantial amendment number 4 to the FY 2018-19 action plan for the Home Investment Partnerships Program to receive and deposit unanticipated program income in an amount of $3,600,000 and B, increase appropriations from $1 million to $4,600,000 to be used for housing, associated administrative and soft costs, and two, a public hearing to be held on October 8, 2019 to receive comments on substantial amendment number 4 to the FY 2018-19 consolidated plan. This item was corrected on the addendum.
Is there a motion, Mr. Atkins?
Motion approved.
Second.
Discussion? Mr. Atkins? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion's approved.
Agenda item 71. Authorize the purchase and installation of the Musco control link system, which will provide for an automated athletic field lighting control system at Keys Park, located at 3080 South Hampton Road, Teetsy Park, located at 2700 South Skillman Street, Winfrey Point, located at 950 East Lothar Drive, Fair Oaks Park, located at 7600 Fair Oaks Avenue, and Crown Park, located at 2300 Crown Road, and integrate with the Park and Recreation Department's Rec Track Reservation System with Musco Corporation DBA Musco Sports Lighting LLC through the Texas Association of School Boards Cooperative Agreement, not to exceed $98,985.
Ms. Blackman?
Sorry. I move to accept item number 71.
Second. Any discussion? Ms. Blackman, all in favor? Any opposed? Motion is adopted.
We'll now move to addendum item 1. Addendum item 1, authorize 1, the application for and acceptance of 2 grants from the U.S. Department of Justice passed through the Texas Office of the Governor Criminal Justice Division for the First Responder Mental Health Resiliency Program under the Victims of Crime Act Formula Grant Program in an amount of $182,889.80, which includes awards to the City of Dallas, Dallas Fire Rescue Department in the amount of $136,361, and award to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit, DART, through the City of Dallas Office of Strategic Partnerships and Government Affairs in the amount of $46,528.80 to improve the mental health resiliency of first responders for the period January 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2020. Two, the establishment of appropriations in an amount not to exceed $136,361 in the DOJ First Responder Mental Health Resiliency Program, DFR 1921 Fund, and in an amount not to exceed $46,528.80 in the DOJ First Responder Mental Health Resiliency Program MGT 1921 Fund. 3, the receipt and deposit of grant funds in an amount not to exceed $136,361 in the DOJ First Responder Mental Health Resiliency Program DFR 1921 Fund, and in an amount not to exceed $46,528.80 in the DOJ First Responder Mental Health Resiliency Program MGT 1921 Fund. 4, a local match in the amount of $34,090.25 from the general fund. 5, a memorandum of understanding, MOU, between the City of Dallas and DART to provide cash match in an amount of $11,632.20. 6, creation of a project coordinator position to oversee the Dallas Public Safety Resiliency Program. And 7, execution of the grant agreements and MOU in all terms, conditions, and documents required by the grant agreements and MOU, total not to exceed $228,612.25.
Is there a motion? Mr. Magoo?
Second.
Any discussion? Mr. Magoo? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is adopted.
Addendum item 2. Authorize the following. 1, a business personal property tax abatement agreement for the period of 5 years in an amount equal to the city taxes assessed up to 50% of the increased value of the Kroger company or an affiliate thereof. 2, a business personal property tax abatement agreement for a period of 5 years in an amount equal to the city taxes assessed up to 50% of the increased value of Ocado Solutions USA Inc. or an affiliate thereof. 3, a real property tax abatement agreement for a period of 10 years in an amount equal to the city's tax assessed up to 90% of the increased value of the Kroger company or an affiliate thereof. 4, a Chapter 380 grant development agreement in an amount not to exceed $2 million for necessary assistance with project-related public infrastructure with a Kroger company or an affiliate thereof. And 5, nomination of the Kroger company or an affiliate thereof to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act as amended to the Office of the Governor, Economic Development and Tourism Division through the Economic Development Bank, all in connection with the proposed development of a new grocery fulfillment center located on approximately 55 acres at the northwest corner of Telephone Road and Bonneview Road in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program. Total not to exceed $2 million.
Mr. Atkins.
Motion approved.
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe this is a great opportunity. You know, we talk about Kroger's, and this Kroger is kind of different from any other Kroger's. It's not a superstore. It's not a store. It's not run by a third party. There's a partnership with Ocado and Kroger's. These employees would not be third phase employees as your regular Kroger store. These employees are going to be working for Kroger's. They will be able to move up the ladder. Their career would be able to change everything. Ocado is a company out of UK. It's coming in here to the city of Dallas, and it's great for them to be in Dallas. But one thing about this Kroger, you don't understand that this building, Kroger, will be doing delivery. But the size of the store is equivalent to 10 Kroger's, 10 Super Kroger in one building, one location. And we're also in a food desert. And since we're in the food desert, we're trying to find, make sure we got fresh vegetables, fresh produce in the store. And I think it's a great opportunity for District 8 and for the southern part of Dallas to have a store like Kroger's coming there. Also, we have Tim and Renita here from Kroger. Will you come down, please? They came to me, and everyone think about how do we do tax abatement, public-private partnership, are we giving away the city taxpayers? But all the sales tax will go back to the city of Dallas. I believe that Rodney, if you want to come back, I believe within 5 years we will receive our investment back. It's a great deal. And if you got something to say about this adventure, would you please respond? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Councilmember Atkins. Good morning. My name is Rita Williams, and I lead our economic development for the Kroger Grocery Store and our divisions. Tim Tepe is the project manager for this exciting new project here in Dallas. So we had launched 2 years ago Restock Kroger, and part of Restock Kroger is how do we redefine the grocery shopping experience for our customers. We will still continue to have our brick-and-mortar stores. We have over 90 stores here in the Dallas region. We are also in 38 states. But as part of this strategy, we are partnering with Ocado Solutions, and they have really solved for how do we deliver grocery e-commerce to customers that are fresh food and grocery delivery. So we are very excited about this partnership. It is exclusive with Ocado, and it's going to transform how America eats. In the UK, there are no brick-and-mortar stores. They get all their groceries online. So we're going to be transforming that here in the United States, and the Dallas project is our third announcement that we're making, and we're very excited about being here. And also wanted to thank the council and the staff. Robin and her team has been great to work with in the partnership that we have here.
And Tim would be the point person here, is that correct?
Yes, it is. So I'll be the project manager on the site. So basically, site selection all the way through operations and the handoff to the operations team.
And I can say it's a 2-year project, that's correct? 2-year?
We're estimating roughly about a 24-month from ground break.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'm definitely excited for my colleague, Councilman Max, to have something innovative of this nature in his district. I've been working very close with Dallas ISD in particular about grow your own opportunities for a number of businesses and corporations. And so I see this as a great opportunity to take some young people and expose them to a career opportunity that's going to be in their own community, on their own neighborhood. As you also know, we have a number of food deserts in Dallas, but in Southern Dallas in particular. I'm, you know, on board 100% with innovation, but we have a lot of seniors, and those seniors go to the grocery store. And unfortunately, at this time, there are not many grocery store opportunities. So I appreciate you accepting, as a part of the conditions for this, considering areas in Southern Dallas. Unfortunately, I was packed. My schedule was packed. I didn't get an opportunity to meet with you, but I definitely look forward to meet with you, sitting down and seeing how we can work together. I have a grocery store task force for my district headed by one of my neighborhood leaders, Andrew Sanders. She leads an organization, Feed Oak Cliff, focused on bringing quality grocery stores to Southern Dallas. So I look forward to having an opportunity for us to sit down with her and her task force, and maybe having you come and meet with some of the task force members. I think this will be something that will be beneficial in many different ways, and I will be voting in support of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mr. West.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will happily be supporting this motion. I'm really excited about the economic development opportunity for South Dallas here for District 8. I'm a little jealous that you've got this in your district. And love it that we're continuing to see activation in our inland port. I'm excited to see the inland port continue to grow and expand. And as in the future, we work on getting transportation down there through DART as well to help the workers actually get to work. I'm really, really excited about the food desert aspect, the fact that you guys are committed to trying to close that gap in the South, and thank you for that. And then also your commitment to a living wage for workers and for hiring a large percentage of workers from Dallas, and I do commend you for that as well. And last of all, I just want to commend Robin and her team for their hard work on this and everything else they do. Thank you.
Mr. Basil Dua.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to echo what I've heard from the colleagues, and congratulations to Councilman Atkins for this innovative business in his district, but also it's a huge win for to have innovative solutions. We know we can't bring in grocery stores and food deserts, you know, overnight, and I think that this is going to help a lot. I also appreciate the extra time that y'all were willing to put in to meet with each of us. I know that y'all probably got hounded like piranhas when we heard that you were looking down in the southern sector for an actual storefront, and we're really excited to see that come to fruition as well. Please tap into the DISD resources that exist down there. We've got Wilmer Hutchins that is kind of remote, and you have a huge pool of resources. We talked about that with some job opportunities for our youth. So, again, I just want to say I'm fully supportive, and I appreciate y'all being willing to comply with some of our requests that we brought, and y'all were, it was very easy for y'all to give a little, to get a little. So, and thank you, Robin, for all of your diligence in this process.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I am in support of this and really excited about this coming in, really, because of myself. I'm a very busy person, didn't realize this happens, and I hate walking into a grocery store. I grew up in one, and I worked in one, and it's like I get triggered going into them, like you're going to start making me stock groceries or something, and I was doing since I was a kid, because my mom was a grocery store person, became a manager, and so, you know, I had to live in one from being a little bitty kid. But one of my questions, and I know I got to talk to you about it, but just wanted to get it on the record, was how we're going to help low-income folks that maybe that are in food deserts to figure out how to access the app, how to use the app to make sure that it's accessible, and then the other thing, so the education on the apps, and then the fees, because I know there's a service fee. I'm privileged to be able to pay that service fee, but for a lot of our folks in this city, especially in food deserts, they may not have the ability to pay that extra fee. So if y'all could just go over what y'all are thinking, because I know we had a good conversation, but I just wanted to get out
absolutely.
There for the public.
No, thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for your time when we met last week. It was great to meet everybody. I know you were busy during budget season, and you gave us your time, so I appreciate that. So those two items that we had brought that back to our project team, and they're being considered and discussed. So we, as we roll this out in the United States, we are looking to how do we then educate our customers to have the ability to access the online app for the food delivery. So we've taken your suggestions back, and I think they're great suggestions on how do we then tier this in every community. And every community is going to be different. And it's great that, you know, Dallas, we have the ability to have either our library available or some training opportunities available for customers, for either seniors or disabled, to know how to use the app and how to get the groceries delivered. So, yes, we did take that back. It was very well received. And this is great because, you know, in the United States, we haven't done this, so we haven't perfected this, so we're all going to be learning along the way. So I really appreciate your ideas and suggestions. And then secondly, with regard to the delivery fee, we had also brought that up to our team. We're looking into it, and Ocado Solutions is the owner of the software. So they had, we brought that up to them. Our team is out there in the UK this week, so they could not be here in person today, but that's something we're taking through and see that we can put that feature in for each of our customers.
Awesome, thank you so much. And Mr. Atkins, thank you for bringing this to us. This is really exciting to see a new business coming into Southern Dallas, far Southern Dallas, and I know you advocate and fight for your district all the time. Of course, I'm like Councilmember West. I wish it was in District 6, but for those out there, you know, we have a lot of industrial areas, but I'm going to let you have this one this time around, and I'm excited because my understanding it's like 10 grocery stores in one, and we're the first urban area to be getting this system to happen, and I can't wait to be there at the ribbon cutting or beforehand so we can take a tour, hopefully, of the robots that are picking out the groceries.
Absolutely.
And bagging it up and all that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of robotics, so it's like, I can't wait to see it all, and I think this is really great, all the jobs and the ability to help us in some of this food desert. Maybe sometimes brick and mortar doesn't work, but this can help us to get people access, and that's what's the most exciting about this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Arnold.
Thank you. I appreciate the work, of course, of EcoDev and, of course, the council and Councilman
District 8, and we're hoping that we're going to be committed to putting more economic development in Southern Sector, and that not through the budget process we cut out those opportunities so that we're able to invest. Now, what I want to get clarification on, you mentioned something about the seniors and the handicap, and I need to get an understanding if those seniors 80 above or 70 and above, could even be 65 and above, but the seniors who are not technologically savvy, I don't know how this is going to really help them, but I know that there is a need for those seniors who don't have the ability, who would like to, I guess, go online, maybe pick up telephone, I don't know, but they, where they need help. So I'm kind of working through that piece. It's great for the seniors who are savvy to get these groceries delivered. So what was your response again about the seniors, the handicapped, who are technologically savvy?
Yes, so we're working through that process as well, and we're working through the education and how do we then educate the community on how do we use the app. So that is something that we're going to continue
ongoing. All right, so the other piece I wanted to get on the record so that we could get a good understanding is that there is still a system, a mechanism in place where you can still redline through the internet. So how are we going to deal with redlining our communities?
Yeah, so again, our project team will be able to work those solutions out. So when they start construction and when we finish and operate, then we will then work out those details.
Do you understand? Let me ask you this. Do you understand what I mean by redlining our communities by way of the digital highway?
Yeah, so what we do on the way the system works is that we have the delivery mechanism, and it goes to the final mile, to the final destination of where the customer wants the order. So our software will be able to then deliver to that final mile. So if there's any mechanisms that we can deliver to other places, that software will be able to know that.
So what do you? How are you going to identify your zip codes? I think that's what I need to know.
I'll jump in here. Right. Good morning. Robin Bentley, mm-hmm. Assistant Director of Economic Development. This exact question was one of the first questions we raised to Kroger, mm-hmm. and it is a requirement of our agreement that every citizen of Dallas have access to this delivery service, that no neighborhoods or areas be redlined or excluded or served on different terms. And so that is a requirement of the contract. It will be a requirement, and if we find that there are areas being redlined, that would be a default of the contract.
All right. So how do we manage that? How are we going to manage that?
Right. We'll have to get maps of their delivery areas. We'll have to, you know, take complaints if there are folks feeling like they live in Dallas and are not being served. But we'll monitor their delivery areas when we go out every year to monitor their workforce and their wage levels and all the other things we monitor.
All right. So that, I think it should be a two-way street, though. You all should be monitoring to be able to prove that you are delivering. And then when we get the complaints, we should be able to respond to that. Would you agree, or am I off base?
Right, absolutely.
All right. So I just want to make sure I put that down, because we did have I think I said this, and I'll say it again, we did have a company that we supported that actually in the city that actually ended up redlining. So I want to make sure we continue to put that out there, and that as we move forward and invest city taxpayers' dollars, that we're not victimized by the process of progress. Thank you.
Ms. Gates was after you, but
she spoke.
Okay, Mr. Gates.
Hi, and thank you, Mayor, and thank you for being here to answer questions today. I just had a question on just the logistics. So, is it just an app, or can you do it like on the computer?
You can do it on your computer as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the delivery itself, you talk about the robots within the center.
Yeah. Actually,
but how's the delivery going from the center to the homes? Is
yep.
that
Tim, why don't you go and take that?
So we have a hub and spoke model to where we'll have satellite sites to extend our catchment area. Ultimately, it's going to be vans that will be driving direct and dropping off orders.
So if you're the center's in far south Dallas, but if you were far north Dallas, you would have some kind of distribution hub up.
So out of the CFC, we essentially have rough numbers about a two-hour radius of delivery, satellite sites within that 2 hours, ultimately extending another 2 hours or so, rough numbers right now.
So how big is the area? So actually then you're going a lot farther than just Dallas itself too.
Yes.
So, okay. And then, and this really isn't totally directed at you, but I think this could be kind of a solution when we're talking about seniors is we have computers in our libraries. I don't know, you know, they could be utilizing, you know, through our libraries, we could have that as available for our librarians to be able to direct people. They could order their groceries at the library and then have it delivered at their home. Or even our senior rec centers. If we had our senior rec centers, we could have somebody that's, you know, that could be assistance to get somebody, you know, on the app or on the computer and help deliver. I think it's a way that, you know, if the seniors are going somewhere and then they could order their groceries and they get home and their groceries are there. So I think that's something we could look at, you know, at the city. So, you know, an access for people that don't have grocery stores close to them. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilmember Gates. And that's one, some of the things that we're taking back as feedback. How do we have full access? And if you are a Kroger customer today and shopper, you have a loyalty card, and every product that you've purchased is on that loyalty card. So if you have repeat orders, you just log into the app and you can get your orders delivered certain days, certain times. So this is really like supposed to be a convenience for our customers.
Is there anyone wishing to speak for the first time on this before I go back to Mr. Atkins, who hasn't spoken yet? Mr. Atkins?
Addressing Councilman Arnold, each council member got a senior representative on the senior affair and a senior source. I have spoken to them. I have spoken to our library, our WIC program. We are working with them. It's about education. When they have a job fair, we also have a senior fair to make sure everybody know how to, about going to roll out the right way. And one thing, with the city manager, that's why I said we do need to have a marketing department. So when we roll something out, everybody in the city know what's going on. This is something new, some technology, whatever. We got website, tweet, Facebook, whatever. We need to let everybody know what's coming to town. We got 2 years to plan for this. We got 2 years to make sure everybody understands what we're trying to do, how this new technology is going to be delivered food to the senior at home. Because most of them can't leave, but we got to educate them. They also have someone come to help. They have a helper, a caretaker. They be able to learn how to train to make sure to order for things. So there's a whole lot of things we can do. They got nurses. We can do this. We got the hospital. We got the church. But we got to do it. Educate, educate, educate. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak on, for, or against this motion? Anyone? Okay. Well, before we actually proceed to voting, I actually want to say that I'm going to be requesting a record vote on this, and I'm going to be voting in favor of this myself. I realize this deal isn't officially done yet, but I'm optimistic that we're going to have the deal, and I believe that our city is offering a very robust, detailed, and competitive incentive package here. So I want to commend the staff, Robin and Michael, and everyone who worked on this. I want to commend all of you on the council and the Kroger and Ocado for their work on this. I believe this is going to provide a lot of jobs, hundreds of jobs that pay living wages, which I think is something that we're all very concerned about. I believe it's going to reward, if we structure this the way it's been proposed, the hiring of people who actually live in our city. I think it will bring hundreds of thousands of dollars back to our city so that we can provide more and better services for our residents here. I believe it's going to facilitate more community engagement with our higher education institutions as well, thanks to the work that you all have put into structuring this package. So perhaps even more importantly than anything I just said, though, I believe it's sending the message, along with what we did a couple weeks ago with the Uber deal, that Dallas is a truly 21st century city, and we're open for business. And I believe that this is a good deal for us and a good deal for everyone involved. So I'm going to be voting in favor of this and asking for a record vote, Madam Secretary. So with that, if there aren't no more comments, we can proceed with the record.
Please start voting. 11 have voted. 14 have voted. 14 have voted. 14 have voted.
14 have voted. I'm not the problem, am I?
14 have voted.
Okay,
I'll release the vote.
Yeah.
You can state your vote for the record. With all members of the body voting in favor, the item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Wonderful. Great job. Great job, everyone.
This concludes
Thank
your morning
you
agenda, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's now 10:03 a.m. on August 28, 2019, and the City Council agenda meeting will now go into closed session under Section 551.074 on related to personnel matters under the Texas Open Meetings Act regarding, number one, consideration of appointments of board and commission members. Consideration of appointments of board and commission members, Michael J. Barrett, Reinvestment Zone 17 Board, Linda A. Garner, Citizens Homelessness Commission, and Cannon Flowers, Senior Affairs Commission. We will now go into recess and reconvene at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. All right. Good afternoon. The City Council agenda meeting has completed its closed session under Section 551.074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And at 1:08 p.m. on August 28, 2019, we have returned to open session. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now go back to our morning item, agenda item 68. Item 68 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This afternoon, we have several appointees to the 2017-19 term. Nominee for full council appointment, Kenneth Gregory Rogers is being requested to be nominated to the North Texas Education Finance Corporation by City Manager T.C. Broadnax. To the 2019-21 board term, nominees for full council appointment. To the Board of Adjustment alternate members, Nicholas Brooks is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Cypress Waters Municipal Management District, George H. Simpson is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Mr. Simpson meets the agent, employee, tenant of an owner of property and district special qualifications. To the Ethics Advisory Commission, Pam Gerber is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Narvaez. To the Landmark Commission alternate members, Alicia C. Quintons is being nominated by Councilmember West. Ms. Quintons meets the architect special qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, Tom Krampitz is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board, Cedars Area, Veronica L. Simmons is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, Mark Rubel, Veronica L. Simmons, Jake McCall, and Ivy Sweeney are being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board, Sports Arena, Jessica Sepulveda is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Thomas C. Fleming is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez, and Jeanette M. Salazar is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board, Design District, Carolyn Sorter is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board, Deep Ellum, Cash Harbaugh is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Jonathan Hetzel is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Jim Rogers is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Robert H. Volker is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. And Jeff Brightwell is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Joshua Paul Kumler is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garden, Dan Hunt is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Reinvestment Zone 17 Board, TOD, Michael J. Barrett is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 18 Board, Maple Mockingbird, Lily F. Mack is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. and Robert L. Prejean is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 20 Board, Mall Area Redevelopment, Josh Womack is being nominated by Councilmember Gates and Councilmember Kleinman. Arthur W. Hollingsworth is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Nominees for individual appointment. To the Animal Advisory Commission, Donna Makrow is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. Ms. Makrow meets the general public special qualification. To the Board of Adjustment, Robert F. Agnich is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the Arts and Culture Advisory Commission, Megan Bridgman is being nominated by Councilmember West. Ms. Bridgman meets the Performing Arts Special Qualification. Linda L. Blaze is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Ms. Blaze meets the Performing Arts Special Qualification. And Jane Ann Suler is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Ms. Suler meets the Literary Arts Special Qualification. To the Community Development Commission, Michael Prozekwas is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Betsy Kleinman is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the Citizen Homelessness Commission, Jennifer Gack Snow is being nominated by Councilmember West. Ms. Snow meets the general public special qualification. Linda A. Garner is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Ms. Garner meets the general public special qualification. And Alan L. Tallis is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Mr. Tallis meets the general public special qualification. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Enrique A. McGregor is being nominated by Councilmember West. Deborah Carpenter is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. And Janie Schultz is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the Community Police Oversight Board, Julius A. Graw is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman, and Deetra Faye Wadsworth is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. To the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Ryan Garcia is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, John Charles Cox is being nominated by Councilmember West, and Stephanie Champion is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Landmark Commission, Evelyn Montgomery is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Emily Williams is being nominated by Councilmember Resendez. Ms. Montgomery meets the Historic Preservation Special Qualification, and Ms. Williams meets the Landscape Architect Special Qualification. Rosemary Hinojosa is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Hinojosa meets the Historic Preservation Special Qualification. Sam Childers is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Mr. Childers meets the Historian Special Qualification. And Lee C. Richter is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. Ms. Richter meets the Real Estate Developer with Experience in Commercial Historical Properties Special Qualification. To the Municipal Library Board, Louis Giles is being nominated by Councilmember West. Portia M. Cantrell is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Susanna N. Brown is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Asa O'Brien Woodbury is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Park and Recreation Board, Thomas Lane Connor is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson, and Amanda J. Schultz is being nominated by Councilmember Blewett. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Carmen S. Arana is being nominated by Councilmember West. Ms. Arana meets the 55-plus years of age special qualification. Cannon Flowers is being nominated by Councilmember Basil Dua. Erwin W. Gart is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. And Zelene Lovett is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. All nominees meet the 55-plus years of age special qualification. And to the South Dallas Fair Park Opportunity Fund Board, Kimberly Sims is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Ms. Sims meets the actively involved in South Dallas Fair Park community special qualification. That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is there any Do we have a motion first for approval?
Move for approval.
Is there any discussion? Well, I have one thing I want to point out. On the nominees for individual appointments, we have an appointment to the Board of Adjustment from Mr. Kleinman. Mr. Kleinman, I just wanted to point out that your appointee to the Board of Adjustment, Mr. Robert F. Agnich, he's one of the most prolific pastors in the history of Green Hills School. He achieved that feat his senior year, 1994, by throwing about 1,000 of those yards to your mayor. So he's a great man. He's a great man.
Well, he just wanted to get the team back together.
I'm telling you, I just wanted to let you know that he threw about 1,000 of those yards to me our senior year. So, yeah, he was a quarterback at Green Hills School from 1990 to 1994. And like I said, his senior year, he led the area in passing, prep schools in passing that year. And like I said, I caught about 1,000 of those yards of his. So any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? The boards and commission appointees are all approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your zoning consent agenda. Your zoning consent agenda consists of agenda items 72 through 75. Agenda item 74 is being pulled by Councilmember Atkins. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 72, 73, and 75. I'll read those items into the record. Agenda item 72 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an historic overlay for McAdams Cemetery, 409 Guthrie Street, on property on the north side of Guthrie Street west of R.L. Thornton Freeway. Agenda item 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1954 for a commercial amusement inside limited to a Class A dance hall on property on the northwest corner of Singleton Boulevard and Peoria Avenue. Agenda item 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial amusement outside on property on the northeast line of Olympus Boulevard between Wharf Road and Cypress Waters Boulevard. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on any of the consent zoning items that were just read into the record? Would like to speak in opposition to any of the consent zoning items that were read in the record? Any speakers in favor? You may come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and also state the agenda item you're speaking on.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. A. Ray Barnett. My address is 647 Genoa Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75216. I am here on behalf of the McAdams Cemetery. I have been a worker and a plight worker on that cemetery for right now about 15 years. About 12 years ago, I put a Texas Registered Historical Marker on the cemetery, and the Daughters of the American Revolution paid for it. And we had a dedication out there. Our former sheriff, Lupe Valdez, who is a very dear friend of mine, she would send her sheriffs out there every so often to look at the cemetery, because those of you who do not know that when the old red courthouse was built, Sheriff N.O. McAdams' name is on the cornerstone of the old red. Those of you who know the Oak Cliff area, where the Jack in the Box now sits on that corner, that's where the McAdams' home sit. And due to renovations of the area, the home was removed and other things happened. There was one living relative at that time, and she has since then passed on due to major health issues during that time. Thanks be to our Father. The Boy Scouts of America has been a backbone to me for the past. And to the cemetery lady, as you all know, Frances James, has been a backbone to us in helping us in the maintenance of the cemetery, as it is now in deep need of repair again. And I will be going to the sheriffs once again to tell them I need your help one more time. We are looking forward to this dedication, and we're looking, and I mean looking even more for important, to the designation of the McAdams Cemetery. It has been in existence since the year of 1890. Again, I thank you for this time to speak, and I'm hoping you all will vote in favor of such a honorable and such a needed dedication and designation for the city of Dallas. Thank you, and have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor on any of the consent zoning items that were read in the record? I'm sorry, you can come to the microphone. Agenda item 73? Yes, would you like to speak in favor? Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay. My name is Deborah Moore, and I'm supposed to speak, you know, the last person, but I'm seeing West Dallas because I'm from West Dallas. I'm just trying to find out what kind of dancing hall on Singleton, what end of Singleton. I see north, but I don't know if that's north is going toward downtown or north going toward Westmoreland.
Councilman Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So that's the already existing Flores Ballroom, ma'am, that's over in the Ledbetter end of West Dallas. So that it's already existing. They're just renewing their SUPs. So they're the same. Nothing's changing. They've already been in the community for almost a decade. So.
But it's not in West Dallas.
It is in West Dallas. It's just in the Ledbetter, so far West Dallas, keep going past Westmoreland, keep going almost to Clymer, is where this facility is located. It's the Flores Ballroom.
Okay, I'll just ask them because I'm from West Dallas,
yep.
And I know Singleton is Singleton and Puget.
Yep.
But you said Ledbetter.
Yes, it's far West Dallas.
Okay.
Almost to Loop 12.
Okay, I just wanted to ask that question.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
So,
still on the zoning consent.
Is there anyone else who had any questions or any discussion? I guess we need a motion for approval of the entire zoning consent agenda. Do we have a motion? Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Zoning consent items are adopted. Next item.
Thank you. Agenda item 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an LI light industrial district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property at the northwest corner of Telephone Road and Bunnyview Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 27 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Atkins?
I move to approve the zoning change as requested by the applicant, subject to the voluntary deed restriction with the ordinance and deed restriction to return at a later date.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is adopted.
Agenda item 76 is a public hearing regarding an application for 1, a new sub-district for a single family use, and 2, the reduction of shopfront overlay number 7 on property in an area between North Zang Boulevard and North Beckley Avenue, north of East Neely Street, with consideration being given to and a resolution accepting 3, the termination of deed restrictions and an ordinance granting the reduction of SH shopfront overlay number 7.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 121 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received zero replies in favor and one in opposition. And if council follows plan commission recommendation, this requires a majority vote. The only way it would require three quarters is if you wanted to go against CPC's recommendation in number one.
Thank you.
CPC has recommended denial. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the denial? Any speakers in favor of the denial? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. West.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a motion and comments, if you'll allow it. I move to follow the recommendation of staff and CPC for denial of a new subdistrict for single-family use and approval of the reduction of shopfront overlay number 7 and approval of the termination of existing deed restrictions. Thank you.
Discussion, Mr. West.
Thank you. So this is basically an agreement that was worked out over the course of 2 years. Two years between the Lake Cliff Neighborhood Association and between the developer in this project. This is was originally going to be a townhome development. It's now been renegotiated into a multifamily condo use project, from my understanding. This has been around from the days of Mike Englund on the Planning Commission, so it's been there a long time. I do want to commend the planners, Jennifer Munoz and Andrea Udrea, for their work on the case, the attorney, Laura Morrison, who worked on this, and especially Ms. Buckley, who I don't even know how many meetings she went to with the neighbors to finally get this case worked out so that everybody was happy. So it's a great example of how we can all get along, development next to neighborhoods, and so great job. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion is approved.
Agenda item 77 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and a renewal of specific use permit number 1382 for a processing use on property on the southeast side of River Oaks Road, east of South Central Expressway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 11 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Are you in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
No.
Were you talking about the development in West Dallas?
No ma'am. No.
Oak Cliff?
No.
Oak Cliff?
No.
Pleasant Grove. I just need to know because I'm new to this and I'm trying to understand because I can't hardly hear most of y'all just talking. I can't hear y'all.
Yes.
All I know is the development is running the people out of West Dallas and Oak Cliff with overpricing the property. So that's why I'm trying to hear what you said.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer if you
prefer. He can repeat if he wants to on his time what he said. But no, we're not talking about West Dallas anymore.
Oak Cliff.
Yes, Mr. West.
You're talking
explain.
About the development of the property. That's what I'm asking.
Yes, ma'am.
Putting all the big houses out there, okay. Running everybody out the neighborhood. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that what you were saying?
The case I was referring to, which was case number 76, was a development project, so like an apartment community, condo community in North Oak Cliff near Zhang and Davis.
Yeah, that's the area that a lot of people are losing their houses. That's what I'm trying to hear. I'm just trying to find out.
Did you want to speak on this item? You have a right to speak on an item did she need to register
what
speak on it or anything? Or just
Ms. Moore, you're registered to speak to an open mic, and at that time you can.
What number is it?
It's after the meeting has ended.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm learning, y'all.
It's okay. No, that's fine, ma'am. It's not a problem at all. You're a citizen or resident of Dallas. You have a right to come and speak.
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Adkins?
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 78 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for non-residential uses on property on the southwest corner of Cedar Springs Road and Olive Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 289 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 114 replies in favor and none in opposition.
We do have an individual who has signed up to speak on the item, after which will be open to the public for public comments. Your registered speaker is Stephen Seidenfeld. You may come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Seidenfeld, and I live at 2011 Cedar Springs Road, apartment 401, Dallas 75201. That is the building that is immediately adjacent to the south of the development that is being proposed. And what I am, what I'm like, I'm not opposed to the development per se, but I would like this to ask the City Council to modify the proposal that came before the city from the City Plan Commission to slightly modify the tower footprint of the hotel tower. You all should have a packet in front of you of some images. The images you have are the images at our upstairs and downstairs window now, and then what it will look like after the building is constructed, the architect rendering, if it is done without this modification. We currently have a very nice view up this beautiful wide tree-lined Cedar Springs Boulevard with the landscape median, with the neo-French classical crescent in the background. It almost looks like you're in Europe. It's a beautiful view of uptown, and I can understand why hotel guests to our city would want to enjoy it. We just want the building to modify the footprint to recess the southeast corner so that the residents who are paying taxes to Dallas can also continue to share that view with the visitors to our city. We think that will make it a much more neighborly building and a much more neighborly friendly development if they would do that. I have spoken with Mr. Tommy Mann, who is the lawyer representing the development, and he has been very cordial, and we've had some very good email discussions. They are willing to put in writing that they will agree to at least a 17.5-foot setback from their property line, which is fine, but in order to partially restore the view, and that's not even completely, but partially, you'd have to push it back to 22.5 feet. So what I would propose as a compromise, as Councilmember West said, to make it more neighborhood friendly, would be to just recess the corner of that building as is represented in the architectural schematic on the fifth page of your the handout that you each should have, the packet that you each should have gotten. And that would be my proposal. I would ask my representative, Councilmember Blewett, to put that forward as a modification to the City Plan Commission recommendation, and that the City Council vote on that and please approve it to make it a more neighborhood-friendly building development. And I appreciate you listening to me, and I also want to thank people in the City Plan Commission, in Dr. Blewett's office, in the Sustainable Development Commission for helping me get this in front of your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have two speakers, three speakers. Each will be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. It's Richard Rodine, 2011 Cedar Springs, condominium unit number 202. I'm on the board for our homeowners association. Appreciate the opportunity to be here in support of the project. We have had an extremely collaborative working relationship with the entire T2 development team ever since this proposal was announced. And we've had the pleasure of a number of meetings working in very close collaboration on issues that were of concern to the HOA board. Those have been dealt with in a real spirit of partnership. We have provided a letter of support in the form of our support coming directly from the HOA board. Let me just quote a couple of things from them. We feel the project will bring additional vibrancy to the area, and we're very pleased with many aspects of the project. As the hotel will be our direct neighbor, we are particularly appreciative of the hotel's overall profile, its underground parking, and the green space concept, the latter of which greatly enhances the view of this busy corner of Cedar Springs. Let me pause and comment specifically on the underground parking. We were very pleased that that was part of the proposal. In terms of a condominium development in this area, it makes a huge difference to have the parking below grade. So we were pleased when that was first announced. In conclusion, the overall attention to detail in the design, the landscaping of the project, as well as the highly pedestrian-friendly aspect of the project is no doubt going to add significant aesthetic value to our area. And again, we were pleased to provide this level of support, and I'd like to conclude by thanking the entire development team for working in partnership with us. Thank you.
Next speaker in favor.
I'm Hilda Rodriguez. I'm president of the Oakland Committee, and the developer and their representative presented the project, which was the committee decided to support unanimously after three meetings of changes and progress on modifications to accommodate to the direction that the committee was suggesting. I'm sorry, I didn't say my address, 3920 Travis Street, Unit 24, Dallas.
Thank you. Next speaker in favor.
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the applicant. I'll just briefly go over the request. This is the site. It's a tough site in terms of its geometry. It's a tiny little triangle. Contextually, you can see where it fits into probably the densest area of Uptown. What this request is really about is our ability to set parking at actual demand for a hotel, which allows us to put it below grade, and then build a more slender architectural profile for the hotel above grade. And it also allows us to create a much more pleasant pedestrian realm around the building. And so you have images being handed out to you, if you can't see this, that just show you that it's a more slender architectural profile that we're able to achieve, what the streetscape around the project begins to look like by getting that parking garage completely below grade. With respect to Dr. Seidenfeld, I want to first thank him. He's been extremely collegial and nice to work with through this process. We have taken his suggestions very seriously and looked at them closely. We can commit to hit a setback of 17.5 feet from Cedar Springs. The Plan Commission recommendation was 10. The existing zoning requires 0. So what we're proposing is actually only partially affects one view on the backside of his unit, and we think when compared to what could be built today, coupled with all the other benefits that have resulted in the support that we have, which includes the Oaklawn Committee, the HOA of Mr. Seidenfeld's building, two other area HOAs, unanimous City Plan Commission, and the city staff, that we have a good request. We're happy to include that last bit as a commitment to Dr. Seidenfeld today. And we're happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Blewett.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission.
Second.
Any discussion? Mr. Webb.
I was just going to say that we are going to take them up on the minimum setback of 17.5. I do think that addresses some of the concerns in terms of visibility. And I came to this project a little bit late, but I have heard nothing but good things from the different HOAs and the Oaklawn Committee in terms of supporting this project.
Mr. West.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to second Mr. Blewett's comments. This hotel group did not, if they decided to put the parking above ground, they wouldn't even have to be here today. They could still build the height allowed. They could completely max out buildable space on the lot. But because they chose to bury the parking, which is what the neighborhood wanted, they had to come in front of City Planning Commission and Council. And what we've got out of this in exchange for that is pretty awesome. We've gotten 30% open space as opposed to zero open space. We've gotten buried parking. We've got a reduction in some parking. And I want to point this out from the planner in this case, some notes put in here, which is really great to hear that the planners are taking the overparking seriously in the city. I'm quoting from the planner here, considering the published parking is outdated and not maintained with recent changes in transportation with the rapid growth of shared mobility and transportation network companies, the parking analysis is basing the conclusions and recommendations mostly on the observed parking demand for similar situation and the specificity of the request site. So basically, and then it goes on to talk about how we're overparked on average in Uptown in our hotels. A couple other things I want to point out about why this project is just fantastic is the minimum landscape that's required in this PD is 4,577 square feet. We're getting 6,341 in landscaping. We've got an extra 100 square foot or so in general planting and an extra 800 square feet of special planting, plus bigger trees. So this project's a no-brainer in my mind.
Mr. Blewett?
I need to clarify my motion to add in a little bit, so I'm going to restate it.
Okay. You're going to restate the motion?
Restate the motion. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission, subject to a revised development plan and the following change. Minimum front yard setback on Cedar Springs is 17.5 feet.
Okay, so we don't need to move and second it again because it's just being restated. Hope that's accurate. So any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Agenda item 79, Councilmember West has a conflict of interest and will be leaving the item. I mean, leaving the chamber on this item.
So long, buddy. We'll see you in a minute.
Agenda item 79 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and a renewal of specific use permit number 2238 for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge or tavern, and a private club bar on property on the east line of North Tyler Street, north of West Davis Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? We have a speaker coming forward. You will be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Pam Conley, president of the Kid Springs Neighborhood Association, P.O. Box 5212, Dallas 75208. 2 years ago, when this came up for the original SUP, the neighbors over on Strong Street and 4 Acre did a petition in opposition. They felt like nobody listened to them when it was issued, so they didn't want to bother today. What I want to talk to you about today is not the SUP for the renewal, because that place has not been a problem to us from a police standpoint. Where it is a problem is from a parking standpoint. This is adding 14 parking spaces, and there are those who will tell you that parking's not a problem anymore, that everybody uses Uber. And let me tell you what, that's not true in our neighborhood. 600 block of Haynes has resident parking only. 600 block of Madison, resident parking only. Ballard, resident parking only. Candy, off of, no parking on one side, reduced on the other side. We have a parking problem. This project already has significant reduction in parking. The brick building on the front has 15,000 square foot of space with no parking requirements at all. This is adding 14 parking spaces, and we don't see where the parking spaces are. So we're asking you to deny the addition, not the SUP, but the addition of the covering that adds to the outdoor patio area. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor? We have two speakers coming forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Santos Martinez, 12 Pleasant Valley Place, Angel Fire, New Mexico, 87710. When we were here 2 years ago with the original SUP, there's some things I'd just like to point out. We've had no complaints from code on parking, no complaints on noise. What we were approved 2 years ago included a patio adjacent on the west north side of our building. We just want to put a roof over it. It does trigger additional three spaces. What's unique about this establishment is it opens when all the other retail establishments on the block close. And so there isn't a parking challenge because everybody else is closed while we're open. And I know some of you had an opportunity to visit the establishment. The wide sidewalks that we have, the parking ability on the street that's allowed in the plan development district, there hasn't been a challenge on parking or noise or any code complaints. I think at the plan commission there was a very good conversation about what this operator has been doing for 2 years, living up to the promises that they made, and there have been no conflicts with those conditions. The speakers are turned off at 10 p.m., like the SUP says. And so the parking that was identified by the opposition, again, we are open when the other establishments are closed. The plan development district allows us to count on-street parking along the curbs. This technically is triggering 14 spaces, but there's a parking lot that's empty because everyone else is closed when we're in operation. The property owners right across the street from the bar, right across from the patio, have submitted their ballots in favor of the request, as they did 2 years ago with the original application. The property owner himself is here. He has screened this tenant thoroughly when looking at the possibility of placing them in this establishment. It's only 1,000 square feet, Mr. Mayor. The patio itself is less than 400 square feet. Asking to cover this space that's literally tiny, hence the name Tiny Victories, we feel is appropriate and fits all the conditions of a specific use permit, and ask to follow staff's plan commission recommendation of approval. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Next speaker in favor.
Good afternoon. My name is David Spence. I am the owner of a little real estate company called Good Space that owns and operates this. For 1,007 square feet, an awful lot of time and calories have been devoted to this case. I'm not going to offer more at this time other than to say I'm in favor of it. Good Space, to an unusual extent, is very present in the management of our spaces. It was not an accident. It was a long process of choosing these folks. I've been very happy with how they've behaved for the last 2 years. And I ask you to give them another five based on them having followed the rules. I think it's important to hold businesses that have the potential to create hazards for a neighborhood to a high standard, such as having to get an SUP to operate. But I think it's equally important that when you find a good operator and they keep their promises, that they be rewarded with a new permit. I think that's one way that we make neighborhoods like this better, is not only using a stick, but a carrot as well. I'm here to answer any of your questions, and I appreciate your time devoted to this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Blewett, do you have a motion?
I do have a motion. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission.
Discussion, Mr. Blewett.
I've visited this property two different times during the day to kind of see what was happening with traffic and parking. I've met the owner of the building, the operator of the establishment. They do have a two-year track record of being a good neighbor. I listened to the speakers on this outside patio to be sure that it wasn't an issue far away, and I found them not overly loud, and they were sensitive to their neighbors. So I support this motion.
Thank you. Mr. Basildua.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also had an opportunity to visit this establishment, and I went during the day and at night. My chairmate and I actually went, and it seems like a very good addition to the neighborhood. Whenever I went at night, when the Bishop Arts District as a whole is more busy, the point that was made that the businesses that share the parking lot were not in service, and there were plenty of parking spaces for me to be accommodated in the back. So I will also be supporting this, and just wanted to share that.
Ms. Arnold?
Thank you. If I could ask the gentleman who spoke a few minutes ago about 2 years ago comment.
Come on down.
Thank you. I wanted to get clarification.
Ma'am.
I believe I was here 2 years ago when this was presented. And one of the questions I had to you was, are there neighbors, families, single-family homes, possibly with families and children, near this bar that would be their, I guess, peace would be disturbed during the course of the entertainment period? And I believe you said you would be closed at 10 o'clock. That was kind of your response. Do you remember engaging?
Our speakers are turned off at 10 o'clock.
Right, but up until then, they're on. So are there residents still around that bar?
Yes, ma'am, and we actually have two vacant lots across the street that are being developed for new houses as well,
okay.
And they've come out in favor of the request as well. And so the biggest concern that folks had 2 years ago was with the noise and the speakers, and we agreed to shut those off at 10.
Right.
And we've complied with that. There have been no complaints at all. The gentleman who spoke after me, he's given them his cell phone number, so if something does go awry, there have been no complaints at all
okay.
about
Thank
this.
Thank you. My real question just basically centered around families with children, perhaps those who are trying to prepare and do studies, do their homework. Will they be able to work in a peaceful environment?
Mm-hmm.
And so your response was, oh, but we're going to cut the mics off. We're going to cut the speakers off at 10 o'clock. So I wanted to make sure that wanted to know if the neighbors were still there or had y'all basically zone people out so there are no residential. So there's still families there.
Yes, ma'am, there are, and there are actually
okay.
more moving in, and we've had no complaints for 2 years.
Okay, well, I just wanted to ask that question because I remember that was kind of concerning because as we moved to try to encourage family time and quiet
right.
time, preparation for homework, and some of those neighbors are not able to move out, so they are just subjected to some of the
mm-hmm.
aggressive zoning that I see going over there, and that's your choice. But I am concerned about those whose voices are not heard, and I've been in that neighborhood as well, and I know there are a number of individuals who don't understand what their rights are when it comes to zoning and coming downtown. But I do want to let you know that I did remember that conversation.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Blewett, second round.
Short, real quick, just to follow up on the size of this location, there are different kinds of bars, and this place is relatively small, a handful of tables. So this is not the kind of bar that's going to be wild and crazy. And I didn't see anything that indicated that noise or any kind of disruption would be affecting neighbors too far away. The patio itself is really what we're talking about, and it was fairly small, and I didn't see it being as an imposition from a chaos or noise standpoint either.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Any opposed? Two opposed? Did you note the two? The item's adopted. Next item, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Councilmember West, you may return to the council chamber. Agenda item 80 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF-2A multifamily district on property at the terminus of Mail Avenue to the southeast.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? The speaker coming forward.
All right.
You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Baldwin, opposite 3904 Elm Street, Suite B in Dallas. And I'm here representing the property owner on this, and I would like to offer some deed restrictions on this property based on my workings with our neighborhood and our neighbors. First of all, I would like to offer the restriction that we'll have at least 2 units facing onto Mail Street. All units, those units facing Mail Street have a maximum height of 2 stories. All units on this property would have pitched roofs. There's no guest parking on Mail Street, and all guest parking has to be accommodated on our site. The units on Mail Street will have to be detached from one another, and a maximum of 10 units are allowed on this property in a minimum of 3 buildings. And with that, I hope you can support this request. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mayor Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant at this meeting today, with the ordinance and deed restrictions to return at a later date.
Any discussion?
Yes. So I was, I guess this morning I was prepared to deny this request because I was getting some opposition. It was actually torn. We had some support and some in opposition of the neighborhood. It's a very active neighborhood. So I had to make some calls because when I noticed that nobody on the street that actually lives on the street was either for or against, so I had to kind of reach out to those folks today that I knew. And I did get overwhelming support from 10 people that live on that street. So I think that they should have the right to make this decision if this community split. And I do want to thank the applicant for offering up the deed restrictions that we worked on yesterday and today. And so hopefully you guys will help me support this item. Thank you. And we do have some folks in the audience here to support.
Members, you've heard the motion. All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 81 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for R-5A single family district uses and a public school other than an open enrollment charter school on property generally bounded by Bickers Street to the north, North Westmoreland Road to the east, Gallagher Street to the south, and Fury Street to the west.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 105 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have one speaker coming forward. Be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
I rarely speak in opposition, so I wasn't getting up for that. Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, Dallas, Texas. I want to thank the council for, it's been forever, a summer ago that this was held, but it gave us some time to work something out. We're in support of what will soon be read in the record, so I'm not going to take that time up. So the DISD is in support of the revisions that will be read into the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. Portable classrooms are only permitted in the area shown on the development plan and must be removed from the property by August 31st, 2024.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason we added this amendment, those of you that were on the previous council know I deferred it until later so we could work through the summer, get this taken care of. One of my strong beliefs is that students really should and deserve to be in proper classrooms and not portables. And this school has had portables for a long time. And so talking with DISD, hopefully soon when as they're doing their next bond, the expansion for this school can be done, which will help build this area, this neighborhood, Ledbetter Gardens, to give it a strong and proper, fully accessible school for our students. This is the DESA Academy, for those of you that aren't aware. So this is a science academy that's in West Dallas. It used to be the formerly known as the Amelia Earhart elementary school. So this is a really great thing, and I thank DISD for their commitment to their to our students over in the West Dallas area. And again, this is an academy, so students from all over the entire city attend this school. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Narvaez, for pointing out the issue with so many portables in DISD. I couldn't agree with you more. And several of our neighboring cities just don't allow it by zoning. And so, in reality, DISD has had some huge bond programs, and they need to get these schools built out and get kids out of portables. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question for, I guess, Neva or somebody in sustainable development. Related to, I mean, I agree. I mean, we've had this struggle with getting portables, you know, one, getting neighbors approved to expand schools so that portables go away has been a challenge. And, but with the date, are we allowed to, I've always been told that portables are a permanent structure. And then when they're put in, that they're not really a portable. So can we do this date?
Yes, we can do the portables have to leave by this certain date. On some PDs, we've done where they have a swing space during construction.
Right.
Putting portables over there. And then when the construction stops, so we have a swing space. So we can do it either way, but yes, portables
but
are
once
permanent.
Portables are allowed, they are they're not really considered a temporary use. They're allowed to be there forever, right?
They get
building permits. So putting in this date makes it have to go away.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 82 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new sub-district within Plan Development District Number 842 with a MD-1 modified Delta overlay on the northeast corner of Greenville Avenue and Orme Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 138 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 20 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
We do have 2 individuals who have signed up to speak on the item, after which it will be open to the public for comments. Mike Northrup.
Good afternoon, Mike Northrup, address 5703 Goliad Avenue. I'm here speaking to you today on behalf of the Belmont Edition Conservation District, Vickery Place Neighborhood Association, and Lowest Greenville West. 33 years ago, the Lower Greenville Avenue parking study was issued upon commission by the City Council of Dallas. And that study revealed a shortfall in the parking along Lowest Greenville and determined that that resulted from a number of things, one of which was the Delta Theory parking, which I refer to as fake or non-existent parking spaces that the city had initially allowed to happen there to encourage redevelopment along Lower Greenville. The study also determined that variances that had been granted by the Board of Adjustment for parking and the lack of parking requirements for outside seating all contributed to the problems in the area. Following the recommendations of the study, this body passed the city's first and I think still only modified Delta parking ordinance that sought to eliminate Delta parking credits along Lowest Greenville. 33 years later, there are approximately 19 operators that still possess those Delta credits. I'm telling you this as background because of two reasons, really. One is because there's a delicate balance between daytime retail uses and nighttime bar and restaurant uses. That study 33 years ago recognized that the problem was that balance had gotten out of balance and there were too many nighttime bars and restaurant operators and which require much more parking. The goal then, as it is today, is still to encourage more daytime retail and that doesn't require quite as much parking requirements as bar and restaurant. The proposal that's in front of you today has been one that has been worked on by the neighborhood associations in the area and by the prospective property owner, and we think that that strikes the balance that the 33-year-old study intended for this area. And we did have some tweaks that we made to it over the last week, and we thank Councilman Blewett for hosting a meeting so that we could get those worked out. And we think with those tweaks to the CPC's recommendation that this council should move forward with the new sub-district. Thank you.
Bruce Richardson.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Hello, Council. Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue. Congratulations on occupying these seats. First time I've gotten to speak with you as a body. Welcome, welcome. As Mr. Northrup said, this proposal advances a continuum of something I've heard you talk about, data-driven policy. Let me tell you why that is. That land use study in 1986, I think approved in 87, producing the MD1 district, leading to crime initiatives, more study. We arrive today at something that is kind of a series of final tweaks. You've approved one sub-district with a reduced parking requirement tied to uses that are predominantly daytime uses. And those occur when there is actually a surplus of parking in the neighborhood. These are good things. The agreement that, as one would expect in a District 14 zoning case, came to fruition sometime between yesterday afternoon and last night after Mr. Blewett's budget meeting, encompasses the hard work of a table full of neighborhood leaders, Mr. Baldwin, a zoning consultant, his applicant who brings forward this request for the sub-district. And I note that it encapsulates the careful attention of about 150 years of zoning experience collectively among the people who have laid eyeballs on this, have assumed that if Satan were to rent every space in this development, that it would probably be still a pretty good deal and the neighborhood would not come to harm. And I feel 99 point however much confident I can in that conclusion. So I will close with this. I don't know what is in your motion. I don't know how it reflects the latest language that you may or may not have in a packet. I understood that Mr. Baldwin was going to distribute that to you. I feel confident that you will do no harm by passing it in full, and I leave it to your judgment what you do with that. But we do support it. I think this is a remarkable move forward. I would expect that you may see one more of these, and I think our work will be substantially done on Lois Greenville. So thank you so much for your attention. Welcome again to all of you.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? We have two individuals. You each will be given 3 minutes to speak. State your name and address for the record.
Mayor Johnson, Council, my name is Leslie Kramer. My address is 4511 Fairway Avenue, Dallas, Texas. My firm, Dorman Bell & Kramer, represents the current business owner and occupant of 2000 Greenville Avenue. We're here today to at least weigh a little heavy on your mind with this change. No disrespect to the wonderful gentleman who spoke before us, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Lois Greenville has seen a wonderful development over the last 33 years. It is daytime friendly. It is family friendly. My client is willing to buy the building as is, no rezoning, no delta changes, and we think it's imperative that the city take into consideration all of the resources that the city will have to provide for a nighttime business, new bar, new parking structure in what is right now a wonderful neighborhood for families. I don't know if you guys have been down there lately. It's fantastic. It's gorgeous. There's a Trader Joe's, which is my favorite. And families are out and about in the daytime using the city as it should be used, using that part of the city exactly why 33 years ago we made these changes in the first place. And so I would like at least, if not, get you to oppose this application to give it some more time, push it forward, push the ball forward a little bit so that we can get some serious studies on the consequences and the drain on our very limited resources here in this wonderful city. I don't want to see the police overburdened by more calls, by people being disruptive in the evenings in this neighborhood setting. And that's about it. I really would like to see this push forward so we could see some more data and let the neighborhood speak for itself and keep its structure in place. And that's why I would ask the council to oppose this application today. And if not oppose it, at least push it forward so we can see some more data on how these changes will truly affect the neighborhood and the Dallas budget. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker in opposition.
Hello. My name is Carlos Tussin. I'm a resident of Dallas, Texas, here at 603 East. I agree with what this beautiful lady just said. She said it is beautiful over there. It is. I've been there. I've experienced all of that, Trader Joe's, everything over there. She's talking correctly. The man said something about Satan. I'm totally in opposition of Satan. I represent God. I am a speaker, walking, talking, eating, sleeping, drinking God. You understand me? No, you speak about Satan doing anything, anywhere in the city of Dallas. You are talking wrong, sir, whomever you are. I don't know your name, but you are speaking totally in opposition of what I represent. And I totally agree with what she said, and that is it. You guys have a great day. I have another subject to speak about. I wrote for the time. I put in for it, and I'm hoping you guys will give me a chance to speak about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor? We have a speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is John Hetzel, 2622 Commerce Street. I'm the applicant on this particular property. We appreciate everybody's consideration on this matter. For those of us that have been around a while, it's a really special day when we can get together with all the neighborhood associations in a place as complicated as Lower Greenville is for a project that we think's really special and going forward. The crux of it is that the vast majority of this building is not COable because it doesn't have its code parking. So to one of the opposition speakers' points about if it ain't broke, don't fix it, it's broke. The building's riddled with asbestos. It needs a sprinkler system. The facade's in horrible shape. It has structural issues. It doesn't have enough code parking to occupy more than half of it. It is a broke situation, and we're willing to come in there and fix it. We're willing to come in and spend a bunch of money to do so as well. And what we're going for is no code parking during the day till 9 p.m. for retail, after 9 p.m. By SUP for retail, and no code parking for office. So have to do full code parking for restaurant under the logic that as the largest property owner down there on Lower Greenville with our many hundreds of parking spaces that sit empty during the day, we have plenty of capacity to handle those people. We just need to have the ability to get proper COs on the building. And as the speaker for one of the current occupants mentioned, they would like to buy the building. They would like us to not buy the building. That's the primary reason they're down here speaking in opposition to the zoning case. And so we really appreciate y'all's consideration on it. I won't waste more of your time, but I am here to answer any questions you may have and have any more discussions on it. Thank you.
Just for the record, you don't represent Satan, is that right?
What's that?
Satan? No.
No, okay, Satan,
right,
for me.
Just want to clarify. All right.
I'm on Team God as well.
Good. All right. Just want to make sure that's clear to everyone. All right.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right, Mr. Blewett.
All right, I believe, well, first of all, you should have had something handed out to you so you can read along. My motion is going to be fairly long here. I move to approve the zoning change with the following changes. In Subdistrict 2, late hour establishment means a retail and personal service use that operates between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. Legacy building means a building in Subdistrict 2 constructed prior to 1926 that maintains the original front entrance and existing solid to void ratios. The following accessory uses are prohibited in Subdistrict 2: restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service, restaurant with drive-in or drive-through service. In Subdistrict 2, the maximum floor area of all restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service uses is 3,000 square feet. Outdoor patio space is included in the 3,000 square foot limit. In Subdistrict 2, except for late hours establishments operating under a valid specific use permit, all services for the public must be stopped and all customers must be removed from the establishment between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. Any retail and personal service use that offers services to the public or has customers remaining in the establishment between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. is a late hours establishment. In Subdistrict 2, except for maintenance and mechanical equipment, use of rooftops is prohibited. For retail and restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service uses, A, public entrances are prohibited facing Orem Street, and B, floor area for a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service use must be at least 15 feet from the Orem Street.
Could you please restate the motion? I'm just kidding. Is there
a second? It's going to take me a minute.
Is there a second? Discussion, Mr. Blewett?
You know, as the speakers who represented the neighborhood associations talked about, this was a complex thing. It was actually on our agenda 2 weeks ago. A couple issues came up in terms of the timing of it. And it was very important. It was critical, in fact, that we address the specific use of daytime retail. And we thought that getting it to 9 o'clock would allow the type of use that they want in this part of Greenville for an operator that would be family-friendly, that would be a good addition, would allow them to operate. And also, they're talking about using the back part of the space. If you looked at the footprint of it, you'd see it's a long, skinny space, and the back part of it is challenging. And so adding an access to Orem for a specific use would allow a little more traffic, maybe some lighting. So I think there's a public safety issue that helps us as well. So we've addressed a lot of the neighborhood concerns for usability, for daytime retail, and for a good addition to Greenville Avenue. And I'm very encouraged by the support and encouragement of the different stakeholders, neighborhood associations who helped us get here. We've listened to a lot of people. We took our time on this, and I'm happy to support it.
All right. Representing Team God, Deputy Mayor.
I'm also impressed by the way you've gotten the community to work together and get this moving forward. My question is, when we talk about the time period for the late hours establishment, is there significance to taking it all the way from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m.?
So currently the late hours begins at 12, and so late hours is 12 midnight to 6 a.m. So this moves late hours to 9. So the thought was that at 9 o'clock, you know, my retail and items would be closed And then what would happen after 9 would typically be a restaurant or a bar. So that's why CPC liked 9. Staff was favoring 7. CPC went with 9 to give people an opportunity to go to a store that may want to stay over, open a little past 7.
Okay, so that decision is made mainly on the front end of it, on the 9 p.m. side. And then 6 a.m., we'd still have to get an SUP or something like that as it relates to the...
I think they just kept 6 as that's what the PD does today.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You are welcome. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item, Madam Secretary.
Agenda item 83 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to delete Beaumont Street from Ackert Street to Irve Street, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor Medrano.
Move for approval.
Discussion, Mayor Medrano. Hearing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 84 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to delete Beaumont Street from Irve to Harwood Street, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mayor Medrano.
Move for approval.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted.
Agenda item 85 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Beckley Avenue from Davis Street to Zane Boulevard from a 4-lane undivided roadway to a special 2-lane undivided roadway in 60 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. West.
Move for approval.
Any discussion, Mr. West?
No, Mr. Mayor.
All in favor? Whoa, who? Oh, Jennifer, you jumped in there. Sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a question on these. So it's changing the roadway. And so there's a construction of all, but it says no cost consideration to the city. Is somebody paying? Who's paying? If you could ask, I think Councilmember West could probably.
I'm going to ask staff to come up here. My understanding is this road's already being used as the way we're changing it to, which is basically a 2-lane. So it's not going to be.
There's no construction.
In effect, we're just taking off the thoroughfare plan so that it can be officially in the record how it's being used right now. If that makes sense.
Oh, so that way it. It does address, okay, come if you want to, I think it makes a difference then the way it can be developed, right? Because if it's a larger, it's going for a larger thoroughfare to a smaller, is that correct? Or is it?
Yes.
So that means the right-of-way changes.
So the right-of-way is staying at 60 feet of right-of-way. The roadway configuration for the pavement is reducing. So it's going to stay the exact same as it is currently today.
It is currently, but if someone wants to develop, they have to develop with what could happen. Is that correct? Does it change the setbacks at all?
So if what could happen would widen the pavement?
Right.
If we change it to what the amendment is being proposed to keep it as existing, we don't have to widen the pavement.
So if there was work being done, that would not call for that to be widened?
Right.
Okay, but does it change the property setbacks like it does? And I've had this issue, like on Lovers, it changes the setbacks because it's a bigger thoroughfare than...
Well, that's because it's based off of the thoroughfare plan right-of-way.
Okay.
Versus, and we have the 60 feet of right-of-way that's required for the
on this one. Okay, great. Thanks. That answered my question.
Is there any further discussion? I don't want to skip anybody. All right, hearing none. All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 86 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Burbank Street from Harry Hines Boulevard to Denton Drive from a 4-lane undivided roadway to a special 4-lane undivided roadway with 1 lane westbound, 2 lanes eastbound, and a center turn lane in 60 feet of right-of-way. And at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item?
No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mayor Medrano.
Thank you. Move for approval.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 87 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to delete Fleming Place from Jefferson Boulevard to Interstate Highway 35E, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. West.
Move for approval. No comments, Mr. Mayor.
All right, no discussion. All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted.
Agenda item 88 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Market Center Boulevard from Oaklawn Avenue to Harry Hines Boulevard from a study roadway to a special four-lane divided roadway with two lanes southbound, two lanes northbound, and a separated shared-use path on the west side and 100 feet of right-of-way. And at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move approval.
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Medrano. Oh, you, no? Oh, okay. All right. Ms. Gates.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Okay, on this one, it has illustrations that it actually changes. So is this changing the existing to a new proposed operation?
So what's happening is in the bond election, we approved monies to expand the trail through Medical District and into the Design District. And so what this is the connector. So on the that one side, that's where the trail will continue. So in order to do it, we just have to amend the thoroughfare plan.
So there's no cost. I get hung up on this no cost consideration because there's no cost to changing the thoroughfare plan, but to do the implementation of it, there will be a cost, and that
right.
will be brought.
That'll be brought up later when we have to approve those, whatever the RFPs on those when they come about.
When that goes out to for construction.
Right, exactly. But those okay. were approved through the
right.
voters and the bonds that were a match.
So the third. So just changing this doesn't cost anything, but when it gets constructed to look like the photos in here, it will cost something.
Right, it'll cost something later. Anything else? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 89 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of 1 Pemberton Hill Road from Great Trinity Forest Way to Elam Road from a four-lane undivided roadway in 60 feet of right-of-way to a special two-lane undivided roadway in 100 feet of right-of-way with a shared-use path on the west side of the roadway. And 2 Pemberton Hill Road from Elam Road to Lake June Road from a four-lane undivided roadway in 60 feet of right-of-way to a special two-lane undivided roadway in 60 feet of right-of-way with a shared-use path on the west side of the roadway. And at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Atkins.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. This was thoroughfare plan. Would Mr. Roger come forward, please? This plan go through three districts, District 5, District 7, District 8, and some of my colleagues was not here, and they probably know what's going on. We did have many community meetings about the thoroughfare plan. And would you explain to them what all the thoroughfare plans is incorporated of?
Yes, we have community meetings on this project.
Right. Could you explain to them that on the east side of the thoroughfare plan, there will be sidewalks, and on the west side, it will be the bike lane? Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yes, that is correct. We have discussed all of these items at the community meetings.
Okay. Resenze and... Alan, do y'all understand what's going on? I don't believe they weren't here. So could you discuss what happened to the community meeting and how we got to this situation?
Okay.
I'm
going to bring our thoroughfare plan administrator
right.
who actually conducted those meetings.
Those two colleagues was not here.
So okay. What we've done is we had public meetings, and right now it's an unimproved.
Could you get closer to the mic, please?
Sorry. Right now it's an unimproved two-lane asphalt roadway, which we consider an unimproved roadway. There's no sidewalks, and there is no curb and gutter. So through the bond project, we have selected that to actually fully rebuild the construction of this roadway, which will add curb, gutter, and sidewalks. We'll put sidewalks on the residential side, which is the east side of the roadway, and on the west side where the horse park is, we're going to put a 10-foot shared-use path that'll connect the shared-use path to the north on Lake June all the way down to the Elam, which will then continue west to the AT&T Trail.
I'm through.
Mr. Resendez, did you? Any further Mr. Resendez?
No, that's all I had. Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 90 is a public hearing to receive comments on the FY 2019-20 operating capital and grant and trust budgets. We do have seven individuals who have signed up to speak on the item, after which it will be open to the public for further comments. Your first speaker, registered speaker, is Sylvia Benenson. Ms. Benenson, you'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
I'm Sylvia Benenson, and I reside at 5455 La Sierra in District 13. I would like to share my time with Linda Enda. Pardon? Okay, she got her own time. I am representing the city's Senior Affairs Commission and the 215,000 plus seniors that live in the city of Dallas. In front of you is the same 2019-2020 recommended budget approved by the city manager that was presented to you at the last budget hearing that took place one day after the new re-elected and continuing council was installed. So you may not remember too well, so I'm here to remind you. Today, having attended the budget briefing and budget amendment straw vote session on Monday, I am concerned that the council would deny our seniors basic services. Our budget is a mere $1,400,000, the same as this year, and without one exception, there is an exception in where the funding, $300,000 of that comes from. And that came this year from Community Development Block Grant Funds, which covers two staff members in the Senior Services Department. We only have four. And the cost to contract with the Senior Source for vital services provided by their ombudsman program. Expecting severe cuts in CDBG allocations to cities from the federal government, the city manager asked that we request transferring the $300,000 from CDBG to the general fund to make certain that these line items were covered. As you can see, the grant for the ombudsman program is $116,868, which leverages funds that the ombudsman program has or receives from other sources. This pays for professional staff and trained volunteers to provide more than 3,700 unduplicated nursing home and assisted living visits, where they investigate and resolve over 1,200 complaints, and in many cases, saving lives where abuse and neglect is rampant, if any of you watch the series on Channel 8. The two staff positions at $183,132 are for the director of the Senior Services Division of the Department of Community Care and a social worker. The department has served more than 6,000 seniors through information and referral, which means phone calls they receive all day long and asking for help, community outreach programs on health care, safety, housing, hoarding, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you, ma'am.
And to help them access transportation to dental, employment, medical, and other critical services.
Thank you.
Remember, Medicare
Thank
does
you,
not
ma'am.
Cover dental care.
Ma'am?
Without teeth.
Excuse me, ma'am? I'm sorry. You're.
Oh, I'm over time.
Yes, ma'am.
Well.
You are.
I just want you to know that the few things that we ask you to help our seniors are necessary.
Yes, ma'am.
And how we are disappointed that if any of these are cut.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Anyway.
Yes.
We will be to see you individually.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully you will remember that seniors have given their time and continue to.
Yes, ma'am.
And please give us your help.
Respectfully. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Thank you, ma'am.
Lael Broski.
Now, Lael, don't you try to pull that extra minute stunt, not knowing you too long.
I get green health privilege, don't
That's I? That's right. Not.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson, council members. My name is Lael Brodsky. I am a resident of District 13 at 9950 Straight Lane in Dallas. I'm also a board member of the Texas Women's Foundation and vice chair of the board of INTERRUPT, the North Texas Alliance to Reduce Unintended Pregnancies in Teens. I'm speaking to you today to urge you to retain funding for INTERRUPT in this year's budget. As you know, Dallas is in a crisis of teen pregnancy. We lead the nation in the rate of second and third births by teens. And in many zip codes in southern Dallas, the teen pregnancy rates are twice the national average. In 2015, in the zip code 75237, Redbird Mall, there were 44 births per 1,000 girls aged 15 to 19. The national average for teen births in 2019 so far is about 18.8%. Teen pregnancy is linked to poverty and loss of economic opportunity. Teen parents are likely to drop out of high school and less ready to participate in the workforce. Teen pregnancy is often a symptom of poverty, and it makes it extremely difficult for a girl to escape that poverty. We can't address poverty and income inequality without addressing unintended teen births. Economic development, educational attainment, and workforce readiness are all impacted by teen pregnancy. The city funds would go towards providing the education teens need to make healthier, more informed decisions, decisions that would allow them to finish school, get work training, and enter the workforce. These young people are the key to our city's economic future. We need to make sure they are given the information and resources they need to become contributing members of society. Because of INTERRUPT's partnership model, a relatively small amount of money goes a long way. If the contemplated funds remain in the budget, INTERRUPT will impact a huge number of teens in the next year. I urge you to continue the funding for INTERRUPT as a key economic development and anti-poverty program for our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle Ayers. Good afternoon. Danielle Ayers, 301 South Edgefield, Dallas, 75208, District 1. But I'm here representing District 8, Friendship West Baptist Church, where I serve on staff as the Minister of Justice. And I want to speak in terms of what the budget means for faith communities, and particularly our faith community and others. Every day we see people who come in who are in need of many services as it relates to rental assistance, food, utility assistance, issues involving our young people, as well as more increasing issues around our seniors. And so when we look at the city budget, we don't necessarily see numbers and faces. We see numbers and faces. There are real people behind those numbers. And so we're asking for a city budget that really stands as a moral document, because that lets us know where our priorities are and by extension where our moral values lie. And I know we've been talking about Team God here today in a joking way, but in a very serious way, if we are, we want to make sure our values certainly match up to that. And so we're calling for a just and equitable city budget that at least complements the Samaritan work that our communities and many other faith communities perform day in and day out, a budget that is adequately funded, programs, initiatives, and supports single parents,
provides mental health services, programs and employment opportunities for our youth, workforce development, shelter for the homeless, just to name a few. And so the budget is not only a critical issue, I think this is a pivotal moment for the city of Dallas, because the reality is faith communities alone cannot continue to deal with the issues that are coming our way. So if the budget is not adequately funded for those other social service and human service needs, that applies more pressure to non-governmental entities that simply cannot keep up with the needs that the city has. It's just simply not a sustainable model. And that would turn out to be not good for any residents in the city of Dallas. And so we're asking that you have more funding around priorities such as economic and neighborhood vitality, human and social needs, and quality of life. And moreover, while we all navigate this political system, we cannot lose sight of the fact of what it means to be human and not to recognize the humanity in all of Dallas citizens, and we don't have a value gap where some neighborhoods and citizens are more valued over others. So we're asking to work with you, and we're asking you to have a budget that reflects that for all of the people in the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Walt McCool.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. I'm Walt McCool, 8650 Southwestern Boulevard, Dallas 75206. I'm thrilled this year to be the chairman of the Friends of the Dallas Public Library. This year in January, we will begin our 70th year of supporting the Dallas Public Library system. We continue a proud tradition of supporting the library in its mission of serving its 9 million annual online and in-person visitors. Last fiscal year, the Friends gave the library $500,000 to support programming, including child literacy programming, such as the amazing Books for Dallas Babies program, which presents each baby departing Parkland with a locally written and illustrated book that their parents can read to them. We also support adult education programs like the GED program, classes, which are so critical to our region and to our workers and employers. This year, we will donate to the library $2.2 million in support of capital improvements such as the sixth floor renovation and the new branch library at Vickery Meadows. We were joined in that effort by an extraordinary grant from Crystal Charities. So the friends are important to the library, but the library's most important friend is you. And we applaud your past support of the library system, and we're grateful to the city manager and our library director for preparing a thoughtful and frugal budget, and we ask that you approve it as presented. This budget includes an item for the purchase of Wi-Fi hotspots. And that serves a critical and immediate need for our city because 42% of Dallas residents don't have internet access. So we're so grateful to you for your support of the Friends. We ask that you continue to do so. You've made it possible for all of our library branches to be open at least 6 days a week. So be a friend and join us. We'll always be there. And the library can get by with a little help from its friends. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Terry Greenberg.
Hi, thank you. You have to bear with me. Thank you, Mayor, City Council. I'm Terry Greenberg. I live at 16354 Sunset Valley Drive. District 12. I'm here. I'm the CEO of North Texas Alliance to Reduce Unintended Pregnancy in Teens. Interrupt. I'm here to speak in support of city funding for teen pregnancy prevention. Teen pregnancy is a tough issue for many people. It involves acknowledging the data that 50% of teens in Texas are sexually active, and talking to parents and teens about sex is very crucial. Last year, Mayor Rawlings and the city did a brave thing by prioritizing teen pregnancy prevention. with city funding for this work, Interrupt launched a public awareness campaign, Talk About It Dallas, last February. TalkAboutItDallas.com seeks to provide accurate, reliable information and resources to teens, their adults, and the public. Most of all, we will change the mindset of teens engaging in risky behavior. We have been successful. Since February, over 1,000 people every month access the website in English and in Spanish, which contains a clinic finder, conversation starter, and accurate information about birth control and STIs. We have generated almost 4 million impressions through paid, owned, and earned media with only 6 months in market, showing us that teens, parents, and the public want to talk about it. City funding also paid for the Consilio to provide important parent education and for us to conduct the Dallas Healthy Teen Conference. Teen pregnancy has an impact on the health, education, and economic well-being of our teens. Children born to teen moms are less likely to be ready to attend school and more likely to be neglected and abused. It is also a workforce issue. If only 50% of teen mothers receive a high school diploma by age 22, and teen fathers also having less successful attempts to get a high school diploma, then we have a city where thousands of teens are not ready to seize the opportunity of Dallas. We must ensure the next generation is able to access that opportunity. I hope you will reconsider. Taxpayers in Dallas spend $100 million a year on teen pregnancy, including this loss of opportunity. The city has a role here because teen pregnancy is a driver of poverty and a perpetuator of poverty. And the work of the Mayor's Task Force on Poverty reflects this. The work is focused where teen births are highest, the poorest areas of our city, where 1 in 3 children live in poverty. They are there because of a multitude of inequities perpetuated over many years. This work is one of the ways that the city has begun to repair the problem and impact the futures of the young people of Dallas. Let us continue our work and amplify the impact that we are making.
Thank you.
Marissa Castro.
Good afternoon. My name is Marissa Castro McCoy, 2902 Swiss Avenue, 75204, and I'm the executive director of After School All-Stars North Texas. After School All-Stars provides comprehensive after-school programs that keep kids safe and help them succeed in school and in life. Our goals for our students are that they're safe, they're healthy, they're making positive choices. Ultimately, this leads to students graduating from high school and college, finding careers they love, and becoming strong contributors of their community. This year, we're serving 900 students across Dallas County in districts 1, 13, and 4. At 6 high-need schools. Our organization strategically focuses on middle school students, the ages when youth develop habits and make decisions that affect the rest of their lives. The out-of-school time hours of 3 and 6 and in summer are when youth have the opportunity to engage in risky behaviors like sexual experimentation, drug use, and alcohol. Over 100,000 school-age students go home every single day unsupervised in Dallas County. Now, we hope that these students stay safe and that they exercise sound judgment, but we know that doesn't always happen. And sometimes the decisions that they're making are detrimental and completely change the course of their life. I am here today to oppose the proposed amendment to eliminate $300,000 for youth development programming from the Office of Community Care's Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. The money is critical for working families as it provides vital after-school programming that help provide opportunities to career exploration, social and emotional tools, and academic support, all components that address the drivers of poverty in our city. Dallas teens are facing alarming community problems in the realm of health and safety. Dallas has the highest teen pregnancy rate of any major city in Texas. Violent crime has suddenly spiked in our city, with over 20 youth have been killed or injured by gun violence since January 1st. The commander of the Dallas Police Gang Unit just revealed juvenile gang affiliation is increasing. The young teens we serve are facing complex issues, not only at home, but also in their communities. According to Dallas ISD, 74% of all middle school students are at risk of dropping out of high school. That's 24,000 kids that might not graduate from high school in our city. These young teens will soon become our city's future workforce and citizens and not possess the skills that they need to ensure Dallas is a great place to live and thrive. We need to provide these youth with the tools necessary to break the interwoven cycles of teen pregnancy, poverty, and intergenerational transmission of criminal behavior. Youth development programs, like After School All-Stars, give kids the opportunities and access to experiences that teach them how to develop positive habits and make better choices now that impact their future, which directly impacts the future of the city. Invest in these youth and invest in a stronger Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joy Thomas.
My name is Joy Thomas, and my address is 10800 Wood Meadow Parkway. I am here to speak against taking away the funding for the Office of Community Care. I'm also here as a youth voice within the community. I am from the North Dallas area. I've attended multiple schools from elementary, middle school to high school across North Dallas to Richardson. I'm also for the funding of the All Access Pass and funding for the summer and after school programs. The reason why I am against taking away the funding for the community care is because I am a product of the community, attending different schools from fourth grade all the way up to college. I've technically been on my own from taking the bus, walking to and from school, getting to moving out, well, being kicked out my senior year of high school, living with 10 roommates, and then going to college completely alone and getting to the point I am now. I just know that throughout that path there, if I had had access to more resources and to more opportunities and after school programs during that time, then I would have probably walked a different path. But along that path that I did walk, I will say from fourth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, every grade I can think about, it was after school program, employees, and then it was teachers, and there were peers within the school that really guided me along the path and helped me get to where I am now. So with this funding, I couldn't imagine like what can happen with the kids within the community. Have they had access to after school programs and resources to not be in the streets like I was throughout middle school? That is a very vital period, because during that time alone, I was exposed to sexual activity, drug usage, being outside with older men preying on the young women within the community. The freedom that high school and middle school alone brings just exposes kids to even more things. So taking away that funding would not only affect the future generation, but will affect us 50, 60 years down the road, because if we don't invest in the youth now, then we're basically telling them that we've given up on them and that our future is not established or well off. You heard the numbers that previous speakers have presented to you all, and by taking away almost $300,000, $1.8 million is just a huge dent in our future already, on top of what we're facing in the streets today and on top of what we're facing within our homes. So that's just what I had to say today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Will you please
come forward and have a seat on the front row?
I just wanted to say thank you to Joy for humanizing your own personal story. It means a lot. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. You can state your name and address for the record. You may begin.
Okay. I'm Linda Taylor Ender. I live in East Dallas, 5341 Mercedes Avenue. I work for the Senior Source. I'm the age director there. And imagine my disappointment My goodness, we were told that if we move the funding for long-term care ombudsman program from CDBG, we'd have more reliable funding. And look where we are today. I want to remind you that, and of course we would love to continue having the funding from the City of Dallas that we've enjoyed, just as we've received funding from the City of Irving, the City of Grand Prairie. There are 10,000 older people turning 65 every day in this country, okay? And we need to step up and help them thrive. Many people that are in receiving care in nursing homes, they're there because they've outlived everyone else. They have no family, no friends, no visitors, many of them. You know, when I started doing this work, I was talking about those older adults, you know, and now here I am, an older adult. And one of these days, and it happens pretty quick, y'all, you'll find yourselves being older adults. And I hope that there are, you know, that you live a long, really fruitful, healthy life, and you'll have people there to take care of you. But the day could come. I want you to know that the state of Texas ranks dead last in quality of care in nursing facilities. Dead last. That's down from 46 they used to be. And we thought that was bad. This was a recent ranking in 2019 by United Health Foundations. It was their America's Health Rankings. So we have this vulnerable population, and we need eyes and ears. We need our long-term care ombudsmen that are housed in our office to be out there, in and out of those facilities, checking on those folks to make sure that fire ants are not being bitten by fire ants in their beds, that there are not electrical wires hanging, that call buttons are not too far away, that people are not getting assistance with eating when they are incapable of feeding themselves. The food is just put there and left. We need help for people like that. And if it's not happening in these facilities, we certainly need the ombudsman there to be able to get it corrected or to report them to regulatory. This is important work that they do, and it is wonderful work that they do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker. My name is Deborah Moore, 1835 Angelina. We need affordable housing in West Dallas and Oak Cliff and apartments all over Dallas County. What are the people in West Dallas, Oak Cliff, and Dallas County going to do? We all may become homeless. We need single-family homes and affordable apartments. Your income have to be twice as much as your rent in an apartment. Some people are on low income, minimum wages, need to be at least $15 to $20 an hour in order for you to afford to pay your taxes and live in an apartment. I want to know who came up with the idea of charging $10 a square foot on our property. I know about West Dallas and Oak Cliff, but I don't know about the other surrounding areas of Dallas. They said that we have a affordable housing throughout the city of Dallas prescribed in comprehensive. Okay, look at this house right here in West Dallas. Do that look like affordable house? A three-story house on my street on the corner of Angelina and Canada Drive. No, this is not affordable. This is overpriced for our neighborhood. What's going to happen to our children and our grandkids and our great-grandkids? We need some relief. I want to know who came up with the idea of $10 a square feet. When I went to the appraisal people, they could not tell me because I did try to fight them. They told me, oh, you can't win. You know, if you fight us, you ain't going to win. Okay, so now, back to my paper. It's a property tax relief to residents over 65 with a disability may increase the property taxes from $90,000 to $100,000. Well, if you've been in big houses like this in West Dallas, $300,000 to $400,000, $100,000 ain't gonna help us. We need $200,000 tax relief, not 90. I just talked to a man on my way here. He's a senior citizen. He lives at 3701 Ville Big in West Dallas on the corner of Ville Big and Homeland. He said his house went up to $160,000. So what is his tax relief going to be? It's not going to help him if you're talking about from 90 to 100. He's still going to have to pay taxes. So city zoning needs to change from letting builders put overpriced homes in West Dallas and Oak Cliff. Been in single houses, we feel like the cowboy days when they used to come and take your property, take your land to satisfy their needs. They don't have any more room in North Dallas, so the real estate and builder developer are causing the people to move out of their property and the taxes to go up high. We are asking for compassion and mercy. We will, the homeowners and grandkids and great-grandkids, you will see us march in the city of Dallas. We're going to fight this 10% square feet.
Thank you very much.
Next speaker.
And if y'all like to see these pictures,
thank
I'm just
you.
Saying, I know my time is up, but if y'all like
next
to
speaker.
See, okay. Thank you, ma'am. Next speaker, please.
So who do I need to show these to?
You can give them to someone on the city staff here.
Good afternoon, Mayor Johnson, council members. I'm Verna Brown Mitchell, 6845 Talbot Parkway, Dallas 75232, District 3. And I'm proud to be a District 3 member as well as a born and bred citizen of Dallas. I rise to a major concern with the reduction in the budgets for those persons that in our city that need help the most. With those problems, issues, things that are happening in our city today, the violence, homelessness, all of this goes back to quality of life. If we look at taking monies from those critical areas, then I don't see that improving the issue. I only see that making the issue much worse. When it comes to our youth, I too agree that we should have free passes for young people to go to recreation centers because they need something to do after school, because many of them don't have parents that are there to receive them once they leave school. We have parents in all parts of the city that are not there. However, in some parts of the city, we have parents that are there. So we're talking about equity. And equity matters. And because of that, in reducing these funds, it means that those persons that are in need the most are more than likely the ones going without again. I will not be redundant and talk about all of the programs that have been mentioned to you this afternoon, but all of those programs are very critical when we talk about making Dallas, Texas, a better place to live for all. Please reconsider the budget when it comes to quality of life, when it comes to human and social needs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Terry Jackson Sharp. I am a citizen of Dallas County. Many people say a citizen of the world. I'm a citizen of Dallas County, born in the real South Dallas. Moved to one of the two places where they recruited African-American families. Grew up in what they considered a upper middle class neighborhood. Raised children in North Dallas. Moved to Pleasant Grove for a while and then came back to Southern Dallas because it's beautiful. And it's spacious, and it offers wonderful natural resources. And I sent all of you guys that I could an email about the city manager's budget that I would like for you to approve. I am looking forward to equity, most of all, from this city council. I love the diversity that I see. This is the first time I've had an opportunity to attend this city council's meeting. I am so happy to see you, Mayor Johnson, a product of Dallas, Texas. I want to encourage each and every one of you to do the equitable thing. I know you're fighting for your district. And as I put in the email, the southern portion of Dallas, which I am particularly fond of, is the gateway to the city of Dallas. Interstate 35, that's where people see Dallas. Interstate 45, that's where people see Texas. Interstate 20 is where they circle our city. And as we all know, the most beautiful view of downtown Dallas is West Dallas. I want to encourage each and every one of you to work together, but specifically to build up Southern Dallas. I love the idea that Mayor Rollins wanted to grow south. Let us continue to grow south in Southern Dallas and provide the equity that's needed for unplanned pregnancies, for the mothers that are trying to go to work in Southern Dallas and raise their children so that daycare is affordable, where we keep the crime down when children are entertained. Let us continue to build up Redbird Mall and provide entertainment for those children and youth in Southern Dallas. I want to thank you because you give more time than just this city council. You spend countless hours at home, countless hours in meetings, but remember us in Southern Dallas. I give our council member Tanelle Atkins the red hot blues at our community meetings. I'm from Highland Hills, Texas, but I appreciate his efforts. I want to encourage you to work together to make Dallas a city where we can have the Olympics. I had the opportunity to visit Atlanta during the Olympics. We have the beauty, we have the personality, and we have the place to offer that sort of thing. Thank you, Dallas City Council. Thank you, Mayor Johnson.
Thank you very much. That was very well done. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Mokuria, and I live in District 7. So I want to start by quoting the KPMG staffing report. DPD is an organization that continuously flexes to the crisis of the day, yet has maintained the same legacy strategy for more than a decade. We recommend a reset in strategy and organizational design to meet the challenges of today and tomorrow. That's an edict that Mayor, you, and the council could all take in line for the budget as well. We don't need more officers. 83% of DPD staff are sworn officers. We need a change in the protocol there. We need to change. We need to optimize the patrol, and we need to reimagine public safety. An anti-poverty budget, Mayor, I'm talking to you. I only have 2 minutes, so I'd like your attention, please. I think I've been listening to you all for 2 hours, eyes on you. I'd like the same. An anti-poverty budget is a public safety budget. This is not an anti-poverty budget. Every office in this city should have anti-poverty and equity strategies. Less than 14% of our current budget goes to quality of life. You all should be increasing that. We won't need, and we can't, criminalize our way out of Dallas's problems. 40% of our city lives in poverty. Three of three children in your district live in poverty, surrounded by poverty. That's the future of our city. Not only are we not honoring our seniors, we are doing a disservice to our future. So we need to reimagine this budget. We need to listen to the KPMG report and force our police department to optimize their patrols, use the staffing that they currently have, and invest in our cities. Our recreation center should be 24 hours. We need 24-hour libraries. We need public spaces for our youth, our adults to go.
This is what you all should be doing. We have less than a month. We have elected you all because we believe that you have the creativity and the intelligence to take our city into the future. So I am willing, I can't give it to you in 17 seconds. I'm willing to work with all of you to come up with real amendments that support our city. But what you have given us is not it. So please, remember that we need an anti-poverty budget. An anti-poverty budget is a public safety budget, not more police. Thank you.
Next speaker. Hi, my name is Mercedes Fulbright. I'm a resident in District 7, 75215. Over the last 30 years at both the national and local level, governments have dramatically increased their spending on criminalization, policing, mass incarceration, while drastically cutting investments in basic infrastructure and slowing investment in social safety net programs. Dallas is continuing that effort as a local government. I work with local elected officials and community organizations, not only in this city, but across the state. And as a proud resident of Dallas, especially in Dallas, South Dallas, it disappoints me that we are again producing a budget that is heavily focused on increasing the public safety budget and not reimagine it in ways that allow us to invest it into affordable housing, youth, senior services. I'm so glad I was able to be here to hear that. But I'm working with other major cities who are dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with, and Houston is one of them. And Houston has taken a charge in the state in making sure that they reverse their budget and start to focus on quality of life. They understand that the root cause of crime is poverty. They also understand that when we actually invest in the communities that we need, everyone else will rise. And when I look at Dallas, I get frustrated as a resident here, especially knowing that 40% of our population lives below poverty. And then we continue every year to produce a budget that ignores that. We produce budgets that cut the budgets from our kids, from our senior citizens, from black and brown people, and folks who are experiencing poverty every single day. We put out poverty indicators, reports that say what's happening in our community, and we continue to produce a budget that says we need to continue to criminalize and put more people into cages. At one point, are we going to actually focus on equity and not continue to focus on criminalizing our people? At what point are we going to focus on giving people the freedom to thrive and not create barriers to where they just have to survive in this city? I'm looking for the folks in the city, especially the folks who are people of color and understand that we are an economic segregated city, and actually stand up and fight for equity in this budget. I keep hearing reimagine public safety, but I'm not seeing offers that actually get to that. I'm not seeing offers that actually get to the root cause of what's happening. Putting cameras and state troopers on our corners aren't going to actually get us out of poverty. We're a major city. We have a budget that allows us to be the big D that we say that we are. But we continue to elect folks like you all who are having these really small ideas about how we get there. When are we going to actually live up to the big D part of us? I do this work across the state of Texas. I do this work with the heart of Dallas in me. And I have to look at other cities like Austin, Houston, San Antonio, and El Paso who are trying to figure it out. And then I have to stand there and say, my city doesn't get it. My city can't reimagine it. We're doing this all across the country, young people like me. And I'm getting emotional because I know that if I don't stand here and fight with alongside these people right here, we're going to be here 30 years later. I'm going to be here 50 years later saying, please don't cut the senior citizen budget, please. And I'm just asking you all to fight for this, to look at this differently, to understand that putting people in handcuffs and in cages is not going to get us where we need to get. People are trying to survive. At what point are we going to put money that allows them to thrive? We cannot continue to put barriers, and putting people in cages is not it. Thank you. Next speaker.
Yes. How you doing? Once again, my name is Carlos Tutson. And first and foremost, I agree with every positive person who's spoken up here. Every last one of these females has spoken positive. You're talking about taking $1.8 million away from Dallas. Are you losing your mind? You're not representing God if you're taking money from every last place in this city that need the money. What are you doing? You the people that sitting in high places playing God, doing the wrong thing. And you, Mr. Eric Johnson, you've been elected a mayor. Hell, you ain't been there that long time, Jack. And you disrespected this woman by getting up talking to this man while she was speaking. I don't appreciate that. That was totally wrong and disrespectful what you did, sir. I know your mama raised you better than that. You hear me? Don't you act like that up in this place, not in this Dallas City Hall. That's wrong. Now, you got these trees out here in these streets, And every last one of them need pruning. And I'm a pruner. I'm an arborist. You understand? Nobody is cleaning up this city. You got it sweating and hot out here. You got Rosa Parks, which is what I'm here to speak about. You got her monument, dirty, nasty, and filthy. You got trash sitting inside of her monument. You got somebody that come there and clean it up. You need to look at me when I'm talking to you instead of having your head down, Mr. Mayor Eric Johnson. You're being totally disrespectful once again to a man who represents God every day of his life right now. Yeah, you and all of you, you Mr. Tanell Atkins, who he came over to talk, you should have sent him right back to his seat when he got up and did that disrespectful move. I don't appreciate what you did. You all right, Mr. Casey Thompson. You is too. I'll tell you this still. Y'all better get these workers down here in this city to take care of business around here and quit taking money for programs that people need in this city. You hear me? I'm on top of everything you got going in the Dallas, Texas. And God's going to take out his broom and sweep all this mess up that y'all got going on around here. My grandmama named Jessie Mae James. She picked cotton for her house, $14,000, plus four of her sons that she had on her first man. This ain't no game. The time finna be up. And I'm going to stop before the time is already up, because I got another time coming up. You hear me? Have a blessed day.
Next speaker.
You can start your remarks there at the podium. Thank you.
My name is Jim Schermbeck. I'm at 1808 South Good Latimer in Dallas, Texas, 75226. I want to thank the nine of you who voted for the Shingle Mountain Amendment the other day. There's been a lot of talk about equity today, and you will certainly hear this in the fall as well. You've set a high goal. But there's no way you can meet that goal without addressing the largest single symbol of inequity in Dallas at this point, which is 100,000 tons, probably, maybe more, of used shingles at Shingle Mountain. Why is this fund needed, and why does the city have to pay for it now? It's simple, because nobody else can or will. The landowners and operators are completely ill-prepared to do this. They were never set up to resolve the environmental problems they established in the first place. It was a scam operation. All you have to do is look back at the last 9 or 10 Robert Wolanski columns and see that that was true. The state of Texas, the EPA, will also be of no help. There's a kabuki theater going on in court where we're trying to get money from these guys, but it's like squeezing a turnip. There's no way that they have enough money to clean this up, $3 to $8 million, according to the city manager. Meanwhile, residents like this young child are suffering every day. He gets up, looks out his back window, and sees this six-story pile of illegal waste. Not only that, that's not the worst part for human health. The worst part is that there are smaller piles of ground-up dust still laying around from when they were grinding up these shingles without any pollution control, and that dust is all over the place. You can imagine the fumes on a 100-degree day from 100,000 tons of shingles. There's all kinds of public health issues going on. This is not a widening of a sidewalk. This is not an amenity. This is not a luxury. This is a public health crisis. That's why it needs addressing now. We know this money is not enough to do that job. It's a placeholder. It's a fund in which to put more money in when the time comes that the city must address this problem. It's a good faith effort by this city council, who has pledged to put equity in city policy, to make a good faith effort to show that equity policy. And as I said, the largest symbol of inequity in the city. There are competing interests, I understand, as of today. that this might interfere with the climate action plan. That is not true. There's enough money to do what you did last year, what Ms. Grayson asked for, and give this fund some additional monies. There was no vote to give all the money in that plastic bag fund to the climate action plan. No vote at all. And so that money is up for grabs. And we suggest you spend it on residents like this young child rather than out-of-town consultants who are driving this climate plan, which has its own set of problems going on. Please, please, pay attention to Southern Dallas residents. This is not a problem they brought on themselves. This is a problem that the city of Dallas helped create, and now you have a responsibility to clean it up. Thank you.
Next speaker.
I'm Marvin Crenshaw, 5134, 3008, Pennsylvania. But I would just like to say this, is that I came through City Hall at a time when there was a great change occurring. And you had a lot of citizen activists on all sides of the city. A lot of issues we didn't agree on, but we mostly agreed on that there had to be some changes in the city of Dallas. We went through the whole issue with 14-1. And coming out of that, many of us foresaw that Dallas we could change Dallas to where it would never be the same as it was before. And it all has to do with budgets. It has to do with the budget. I'm on that. But I when I walk these streets now, and I walk them a lot, it's just, I see so many people laying out on the streets, sleeping on the buses, sleeping at the transportation systems. And, you know, something is going wrong. But I basically feel this, is that if the people do not understand and seize control and understand what a budget is for and understand how you what do you do with it, then you could be here all day. But it is the people who have to make the changes. Now, I'm going to use my a minute and 28 seconds. And I'm going to talk about this, number 90, and also number 54. Because last year at this time, dealing with the airport, there was a big controversy with Airbnb dealing with Israel. Some of you might be on the council, and some of you might not. But right now, we're in the woes, and it's not going to go away because of the fact of this. But sometimes some of our budget is used to send first-term council members to Israel. Same way they do in Congress, the big controversy you have in Congress. And we're not going to get around it. And you cannot just take our money and do what you want with it and let us just sit here. You can't do that. You just cannot take our money and tell us to be quiet or Marvin's crazy. We don't want to hear about that. Take our budget, our money, and do that. We're a global community. We're not just a local community. We're global. Because of technology, it makes everything closer together. And people see each other suffering, and we want something done about it. So I'm going to say this, Ms. Mayor, is that I'm supposed to be chairing a group of 350 people in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex dealing with this whole thing of apartheid in Israel. So I'm going to be back, and I know how to use the budget. So thank you.
Next speaker.
Thank you.
There are no further speakers on this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. All right, so before I recognize you, Ms. Gates, I want to make sure everybody understands. So this is a public hearing on the budget that we have to have, and this is not the open microphone time, so that's coming if there's anyone else left to speak. So is there anybody else in the public that wanted to speak on the budget? Oh, no. Can someone make sure she's all right, please? Okay. Anyway, open microphone time. Those remarks are to be addressed to me only. We're going
to
close the public hearing first. But I just want to point out that this is still the budget, not the open microphone time. This is still the budget. So were we done with I want to make sure everybody who came to speak on that budget got a chance to do that. Are we done? Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion now to close the public hearing
did
on
you
the budget.
Oh, did budget? You
budget?
Budget.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
Yes,
okay.
My Mother Randolph, I sent a letter to you yesterday. I left numerous messages on your phone to give you ideas about how to reduce the budget. I still have further ideas on reducing the budget. For instance, I had said, like, with the automobiles, the police cars that are in the garage. I gave you an idea about that. I don't want to say it again right now. But I have plenty of ideas. I came here. I'm a God-sent woman. I didn't come here on my own. And yesterday I cried because they didn't seem like they didn't. Well, the police would get sending me from one police to another, telling me how to get that documentation to you. And I ended up taking it on the fifth floor to your office, speaking to your secretary, who seemed to be a very nice young lady. She told me she would get it to you. I said, it's pertinent that he gets it now because they're discussing the budget. I had no idea how long the budget discussion would last, but she said she put it in your desk or something like that. I wept. The Lord told me 2 years ago that I had been relieved of my duties here because I've done Dallas a good job. He told me I can also send Dallas an invoice. I haven't sent one yet because I've been so focused on helping Dallas become one of the top 10 cities in the nation. That's my goal. And that's his goal for Dallas, I believe, because I am a spokesman for him. So anyway, God bless okay. America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her.
We need this to be limited to
with
the budget,
light.
Please.
Beg pardon?
The budget. Please. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful rendition. But
all right. But I just want to let you know, prayer is going to be the key to getting this budget situated. That's what I was saying. Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Team God is racking up the victories today. He really is. I just want to make sure there was no one else here for the budget. Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I move to close the public hearing.
All in favor? Any opposed? Public hearing on the budget's closed. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your voting agenda. We'll now move to your open microphone speakers. Carlos Tutson, canceled. Deborah Moore, not present. That concludes your open microphone speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's 3:28 p.m., and this meeting of the City Council is now adjourned. Who's that?